Some of you, most of you know, but some of you may not know that the Victory Nights is a vision that the Lord's given us that we just started this year, where we literally, they'll get that fixed in a second, where we literally are going to one city pretty much each month, and we're reaching out into that community and sharing the love of God. It started there at the right above the center at Rockwell. Troy will be December. Norwood actually is Saturday. This Saturday we'll be in Norwood giving a turkey to every family that comes, just loving them, sharing with them. And it was interesting. The reason I say this is because we're talking about overflow. Leave that up there for just a second. We're talking about overflow, and you know, I mean, it is pouring down rain outside. And I appreciate y'all being here so very much. And now, what does overflow rain and that picture have to do with each other? But let me tell you something. I was meditating on this picture just a couple weeks ago while we were at the Minister and Leaders Conference. And while I was ministering on that, the Lord said, that vision I gave you, because the Lord dropped this vision in my heart, and then He spoke to me something. He gave me a call, and that's why we're doing the Victory Nights. And He said, you know, it looks like a hurricane. And I went, wow, yeah, it does look like a hurricane. He said, you know, that hurricane you had come through here a few weeks ago, He said, that really was prophetic in a sense. He said, that hurricane came and it just sat and spun all across central North Carolina, and it really flooded some areas. Well, if you can imagine what we're doing here as flooding this, saturating this area with the living water of God, right? He said that thing was prophetic. Well, He told me that thing, and then last week, Teddy Shuttlesworth, good friends of ours, he's up there, he said, he called me out and he said, Brian, he said, you know that vision God's given you? It looks like a hurricane. I was like, I know. I know. He said, God's going to take that and basically bless the whole region of central North Carolina. I was like, I know. I hadn't told anybody what the Lord had spoken to me. He was confirming that word. And see, here tonight, I was just looking at the weather, and it's supposed to rain for like 2 days. Listen, I'm telling you that God is going to take what we're doing. He's going to take this region, and He is going to flood it and saturate the ground with His love, with the life-giving water of God. He's going to overflow this area, and even this meeting tonight is a piece of that and a part of that. He's saturating our lives with the love of God so that when we come get next to somebody, it's like a filled-up sponge, and we just push a little bit and they get soaked, you know. Have somebody throw you a soaked sponge and you're going to get wet. He's overflowing your lives. He's overflowing this area. He's overflowing this region. He's saturating this region with the living water of God. And He's doing it through you, Boomerang. And these meetings this week, I'm telling you, He's looking to saturate you with the simple love and joy of God. The simple love and joy of God. That's all it takes. It doesn't have to be something super complicated, revelation that men wow over. It's just the fact that God loves you. God loves me. God loves people. He loves, and He wants to get His best to us. He wants to get His best to us. He wants to bless you. He wants you blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you delivered. He wants your family walking in it. And oh, we're going to see it tonight. We're going to see it tonight. Because we've got a couple, and we were sitting today at lunch and had some coffee. We've got a couple that carries the simple love and joy of a loving Father. And it's going to pour out on you tonight. And so with that, Richard, Rhonda, have at it. Take off. Let's go. Saturate us with His love. Amen. I love you.
Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? I tell you, before you're seated, just turn to your neighbor and look them in the eyes and tell them, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Hallelujah. Tonight is your night. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You could be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're so excited that you're here tonight, you've come out tonight, you know, because the reality is that you didn't have to come, but you made a choice, didn't you? You made a decision. Amen. Amen. You made a decision for a number of reasons. Number one, you made a decision because you're hungry for God. Amen. Amen. You know, it's a whole lot easier to make the right decision when it comes to God and the things of God when you're hungry for Him. Yep. Amen. Amen. And every decision we make, brings results. Amen. Good or bad, but it brings results. But you've made a good decision, and it's going to bring some godly good results. But it's so thankful. And my wife said to me, she said, you know, it's raining. How many people do you think will come? I said, the hungry ones will come. Because you know what? When people are hungry, they don't let natural things stop them. Amen? Doesn't matter if there's a tornado out. Doesn't matter if there's a hurricane coming. That don't stop us. Amen? Hallelujah. So praise the Lord for His goodness, His mercy. And how many of you have been touched so far? Raise your hand. The Lord's touched you. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I saw some video last night and we had some people carried out of here. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. We have, you know, we have so many wild and supernatural things happen. Some people think, you know, when I talk, they think it's just, you know, I'm just preaching, you know, me, or just saying wild things. But the wild things I'm saying are things that happen. Yeah. Now, people really don't believe it. I mean, like, you know, I make mention how we have people in trances. I mean, people think, you know, he's just an evangelist because evangelists, you know, they evangelistically talk and they, you know, they make it out to be bigger than it really is. But I don't. My wife would tell you, I'm very black and white, man. Because I know I'm going to give an account of everything I say. So I make sure that what I say, I'm not exaggerating, that I'm telling it just like it is. Sometimes you hear me in a story, back up and say, you know, change it, because I realize, hey, wait a minute, I got to say it just like it is. Amen? That's important. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And so some people, they'll just exaggerate and they'll just think nothing of it. But anyway, I don't do that. So when I say people, you know, people get carried out, people get carried out. Yeah. When I say people go into trances, people go into trances. We had a lady, I made mention last night, we had a lady in Louisville, Kentucky, went into a trance for 4 days and didn't move, didn't drink any water, didn't eat any food, nothing for 4 days. I cannot tell you the times we've had pastors that have been stuck to the floor, can't move. Listen, one thing I learned, when I can get a pastor stuck to the floor, there's a whole lot of things I can do, you know what I mean? Hallelujah. Amen. I remember we was in outside of Charlotte, right by Lake Norman. We were doing some meetings there, and I remember the secretary got stuck to her chair for three and a half hours, something like that. And, listen, and I never prayed for any of this. That's just one of the things that happens in the meetings. It's just signs and wonders. But I never prayed for signs and wonders. And the reality is that signs and wonders is not what we seek. Right. We seek Him. Amen. Amen. We don't. It's not money that we seek. We seek Him. Amen. Amen. We don't seek His hand. We seek His face. Amen. Amen. And for one reason, so for Him to get all of the glory. Amen. Yeah. I know some guys, they won't have miracles, because, you know, as soon as they get a miracle, the first thing they want to do, they want to put it in their newsletter and broadcast it so they can, you know, use it as, you know, to get offerings.
Right.
Okay, that's one amen, but it is the truth. Right. No, but you know, your motive has to be right in everything. No, your motive has to be right in everything. Amen? Amen. And we'll be judged for our motives. Amen? Amen. I think that's why we got to make sure your motives is right. Yes. You mean, that's why, man, I try to be very, and like you haven't heard me mention anything that I'm believing for, you know, personally in the church or anything material things, because I got to be careful, because I've learned in the past that if I say something, Man, because people want to bless the evangelist, and man, they'll go out and get it. No, really. I mean, yeah. You know, they'll go out and get me one, you know. They'll go out and get me the 1969 Chevelles. I'm teasing. It's not a Chevelle. It's a Shelby Cobra Mustang. But anyway, I'm teasing. Nobody here go get me one. Now, if you're watching on the internet, you can, but I'm just teasing. But no, yeah, but you got to be very careful. So I actually try to really, not, I'm just joking with that, obviously. Matter of fact, I've said things before, like if something I'm, you know, believing for, but I'll tell people, do not come and buy my, do not buy me one. And if you get me one, I will not accept it. Because I don't want to, I go to the extreme in the way, I don't want to think by any means, by any way I manipulated people. Amen. That's why you careful when we receive the offering. You know, I don't evangelistically talk. I'm going to make sure I'm not manipulating people. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
Our motives have to be right. I mean, Pastor Brian and I, man, we always have great deep talks, you know, and that's why I love your pastor, you know. And you can tell a lot about of a person by how they talk. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Come on, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I remember when I was, oftentimes when I go, I don't really do it anymore, but every once in a while I will, but I'll go to the hospital, pray for people. And I don't go when I go to churches unless the Lord speaks to me. Because, you know, if Pastor Brian came to me and said, hey, look, so-and-so is in the hospital, will you come pray for? Will you go pray for you know, brother so-and-so? You know, unless the Lord says go, I wouldn't go. Because then the next church I go to, when that pastor asks me, then I have to go, because if not, then I'm being a respecter of persons.
Yeah.
But when the Lord speaks, I'm handing you know when the Lord speaks, that triumphs everything. Amen?
Yeah.
And so we just got to, you know, listen, I'm telling you right now, some people, bless their hearts, I mean, their motto is, and they live by hints, you know. They think faith without hints is dead, you know. I mean, they just... Hint. No, they're always hinting around. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm, you know, 100%, but I try not to. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's just like, sometimes, like, I got to be careful, like, because I like to play golf, you know, and I have to be careful. Like, I'll never say what kind of club I'm believing for. And actually, I'm not believing for any right now. I got a great set. I don't need any. But I won't even, like, mention it, because I know somebody will go get me one, and then I feel like I manipulated them, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's wisdom.
Hallelujah. So you know you gotta listen. You gotta be. You know, the Lord tests us, especially when it comes to things like that. When it comes to money, you know the Lord will test you, because here's the reality: if you can't be trusted with money, you can't be trusted
with
anointing.
That's right.
If God can't trust you with $100. Then he can't trust you with his miracle working power.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Because the other side of the coin is this: is that the very thing that keeps people from giving is the very thing that will keep people from flowing in the power of God.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you something: if the Lord speaks to you, tells you to give a certain amount of money, and you can't do it, the very thing that will keep you from sowing that seed in the offering is the very thing that will keep you from pulling somebody out of a wheelchair. Amen. And I know you can hear some people now, not at this church, because your just church has already been taught well, and all the religious devils have already left. Thank God for. I mean, finally, I get to come to a church where pastor's already cleared the way for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Unless some visitors come, you know, whatever. But I mean, we. But you. No, I mean, you know, it's, you know, I used to, you know, I was telling Pastor today, you know, so when it comes to certain, you know, the way I could be, well, let me just say this. You remember back in the days we didn't go on, you used to be able to go on the computer and you can go into the chat rooms and do chat. I don't even know if you can do that anymore, can you? I don't even know. But, I used to love going into those rooms, because I for some reason, just maybe it's my makeup, my personality, I used to get such a thrill. I looked forward to it every night of getting people mad. No, I did. It was such a thrill to me. No, it was such a thrill to me to go into the Christian chat rooms, you know, And you know what? You know what? I'll tell you, there was two things that I could talk about that would always get them mad. The first thing's money.
Yeah.
I would type in like, you know, God wants all of his people rich. Oh, my goodness. Man, the responses that I used to get. Then I would type in something like, did Jesus die spiritually? Oh, my gosh. Anyway. Or I'd mention certain people like Kenneth Hagin or whatever. And I used to go in there just to watch them get mad. Not even... And I got a kick out of it. I did. Actually, then my heart condemned me, and I actually stopped doing it. You know, I don't even if they have them anymore. I hadn't even looked for years. You know, but it's amazing how people, when it comes to the subject of money, how people are so lied to, and how people are so religiously in that area when it comes to money, been brainwashed. Amen. And the Lord spoke to me just here this couple of weeks ago. And this is why I'm on a quest with some things. And, I've made it mention here the last couple of nights or last couple of services when I've made the statement, if the world who's wicked and going to hell,
yeah,
who lives under a curse,
yeah,
could be multi-billionaires,
yeah,
how much more,
yeah,
should the covenant people, yeah, of God,
yeah, right,
yes,
be walking in that wealth that who we are not under a curse? And it all comes down to a mindset. And it really comes down to two things. And I'm going to get into some of tonight, but my wife's going to share in a moment. But it comes down to two things, how a man thinks and what a man says.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know every single one of us, you are where you are right now because of the way you have thought and because of the words that you've spoken out of your mouth? And we'll see it here in a moment because I'm going to go into... I was going to go another direction. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in the shower tonight about a certain direction to go. But it's people don't understand about, what do you want, those name it, claim it people? Yeah. And it's time that people stop being so, you know...
Scared.
Yeah.
Just like somebody said to me here just not long ago, well, what do you want of those wealth and health preachers? I said, it's a whole lot better than poverty and sickness, isn't it? Which is a statement based upon ignorance. That really,
yes,
is.
It really, yeah, is.
And actually, I said to a guy, I said, stupid. Actually, I'm sorry. That's you, to call you stupid is an insult to stupid people. I mean, that's the most idiotic thing. No, that's the most idiotic thing that anybody could say.
It really is.
Yeah. No, it is the most, I mean, you, we just really reveal how much of God you don't know.
Right.
When you make a stupid statement like that. Because I can promise you right now, there's not one scripture, there's not one person here. You cannot find it. There's not one scripture in the Bible where God ever rebukes people for having wealth.
Right.
I know people in their minds trying to think right now. Trust me, it's not there. It's not there. And everybody wants to bring up the rich young ruler. Oh, stop.
Right.
This shows your ignorance, yeah, again. It really is. I mean, you didn't even know what that means. You can't even, I can show you. I got 2,000 scriptures, actually.
Yeah.
I got 2,000 scriptures that backs my case.
2,000.
And it's amazing how people still, you know, and it's just a lie from the enemy. Because guess what? Here's the fact. If you're poor and you don't have no money, you can't do nothing for the kingdom of God.
Right.
I'll say it again. If you're poor and you have no money, you can't do anything for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Do you know the Bible teaches us to be rich?
Yeah.
Do you know riches has already been provided for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I got scripture. I got multitudes of scriptures to back up what I'm saying.
Amen.
Yeah.
I remember my pastor, and who's also one of my dearest friends on the planet, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. And my wife and we've known him and his precious wife, Adonica, for over 30 years. Well, 30 years. Actually, we met in 1988. And we met at the same time. I met my wife in February and married her in June. I mean, she couldn't resist me. And I mean, she still can't resist me. Just, I mean, it's just, you just got to know me. And... Yeah, I'm sure she's going to have a turn in the moment. I'm sure. And you know, one of the things, and I've actually, that's why it's important to have a good pastor. How many of you, if you've heard your pastor say things and it's blessed you and you use it in your life right now? Sure, that's why you have, you come and you submit yourself to the good shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
And I mean, he's the shepherd. I mean, we're shepherd. He's a shepherd over the flock that the Lord has, I'll just tell you, when I saw that screen, I heard on the inside of me, it'll come to pass. Hallelujah. But the problem is that it'll be more than what you even think. Because the Bible says he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. And so my pastor, who's also one of my best friends and mentor, he told me, you know, privately, but he also said it in the service here not long ago, that there was this guy in Canada. He's a professor. And he was hired by this university to expose cults. And of course he was sent to, you know, to see if Dr. Rodney Howard Brown was a cult leader. And anyway, he came to the service and there was no signs, and you know, there's certain signs you can look for. There was no signs that he was a cult leader, no symptoms, nothing like that. But there was one thing that he didn't agree with. He agreed with everything going on, even the move of the Spirit, even people getting healed, people getting touched, people speaking in tongues. I mean, he didn't disagree with any of it. People falling under the power of God. This guy's a brilliant man. He didn't disagree with any of it. The only thing that he disagreed with was when he began to, you know, receive their offer and talk about giving and talk about money. So he asked to meet with him, and so they met to discuss the subject for breakfast. And when he came to breakfast, my pastor had his Bible, but he didn't have no Bible with him. And so my pastor said to him, well, he said, we came to have this discussion, but I'll assume you don't have no Bible.
Yeah.
Which tells a lot.
Yeah.
And he said, well, go ahead, you go. And so he said, this professor, who's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man, he said, well, you know, Kenneth Hagin. And so my pastor said, Kenneth, who's that? Then he goes, Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn and I'm making a long story short. So my pastor said, he said, you know what, who are they? He said, let's pretend like this is the year 1500. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, none of these guys exist. The only thing that we have is the Bible. Mm-hmm. He said, obviously you've tried to state your case, but you have none. So let me state mine. So he opened up his Bible and opened up and started reading from the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
And he read all throughout the Old Testament into the book of Psalms, and finally the guy, the professor, kept getting to stop, but he wouldn't stop. So finally he was getting through Psalms and he said, okay, stop, okay, you've stated your case, I believe. And then my pastor said, by the Holy Ghost, he said, the problem, he said, here's your problem, which is most Christians' problems. You have developed a doctrine based upon an individual you don't like. Because you don't like them, therefore you don't like what they have to say. So you've developed a doctrine based upon not liking somebody. And the reality, that has become a gospel that has been proclaimed and people believe it. And it does nothing but produce bondage in people's lives because there's no scriptural basis for it. The scripture, there is absolutely no scriptural basis for that belief. The basis for that belief is, I don't like so-and-so, what he has to say.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
That's why I believe every minister should, on a yearly basis, on a regular basis, should examine what they believe, examine their doctrine.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
How important is it? Well, let me tell you how important it is. It's so important that that's why I stay away from people. And there's people out there. Listen, there's something going on in the church today. I'm telling you, it's of hell. And these people going around having wine and cigar night in their churches.
Right.
Yep.
These people drinking in churches think it's okay to drink wine. It's not.
Amen.
It's not okay to drink wine. There's nothing you can say to justify it. There's no scripture you got to justify it. And people, everybody wants to, you know, come from some natural carnal side. And they don't ever want to come from the spiritual side. And it's the spiritual side that we have to come from. Because let me tell you something. There's a demon spirit that backs alcohol. And the moment you pop that top and take a drink, you drink devils. I mean, even the world is smart enough to know. I mean, go to a liquor store. What's across the front of the outside? Spirits. No. Even you go to a world where alcohol, ABC and spirits. Wine and spirits. The world even knows it's devils. But it's okay. Well, the Lord drank. No, he didn't. Anyway, I don't want to get off in that. But my point is this. Because as ministers, we got to be so careful. Because here's what my Bible says. My Bible says that if me as a leader, your pastor as a leader, cause one child of God to stumble, it better we not even be born. That's what Jesus said. And you know what? Here's the simple reason. And I didn't mean to start out like this tonight, but I'm not apologizing for it. Because what we had last night is far better. And that's the problem. People who drink alcohol have just never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Because one comes from the kingdom of heaven, the other one comes from the kingdom of hell. And when you desire hell over heaven, and that's really what's happening. Didn't get any amens on that one. I got some nods. But you know what? Here, let me just say this to you. Do you know the number one reason why people sin? It's very simple. Their heart's not satisfied with God.
That's right.
When your heart's satisfied with God, you want nothing that the world has.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is so good.
Amen?
Amen.
I still feel, there's like 9 people here this morning. Just praying in the Holy Ghost for 3 hours. I'm roast. I still feel the effects of it. I feel it. And there was something right over in this section right here this morning. I'm serious. I mean, I tell you what. In every church, there should be a spirit of prayer. In every church. No, in every church, there should be a spirit of prayer. No, in every church, in every church, there should be a spirit of prayer. In every church, do you know what? Listen to me very closely about prayer. Every failure in life is a prayer failure. That's why you don't make any decision unless it's bathed in prayer. Amen? Because I listen, rasakarabasista. Anyway, hallelujah. I tell you, the Lord is good. Honey, come up and just greet the people. Just greet the people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, she brings her Bible. That could be dangerous.
Hallelujah. Taste and see that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Night after night, the Holy Spirit's showing up. So you got to show up. Come on. To get what He has for you. He's got a whole menu planned this week. You know, so you just got to get up to the table. Come on. You don't come, you got to come hungry. If you're full, you're not going to take what's the food that's being given. Amen. So it's like layer after layer. You know, there are different purgings that take place. You know, how many of you have ever started cleaning in your house? And all of a sudden you get that one layer and you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much more that I could do. And it's like there's layer after layer. Well, you know, when we come into a revival service, because it's literally a purging by the Spirit of God, He's taking those layers from us. But we've got to allow Him to take those layers off of us. And how silly and ridiculous it might seem to lay on the floor or the power of God just pulsating right through your body. It's like 100,000 watts of electricity and it wants out. But what's coming out are layers of nonsense, things that have happened to you, things that have been stored up on the inside of you. You know, sickness is a disease. Diseases and sickness are demons that come into your body and they take up residence. But they are they are not welcome. Because we have been bought with a price. They are trespassing. But guess how they stay there? They stay there when you have unforgiveness. They stay there when your heart is not right with God. Because it's got to have something to hold on to. You know, there's this doctor. His name was Dr. Mayfield. He was like a holistic doctor. And he said incurable cases would be sent to him. And he said, if I can get that person to forgive, I can get that person to live. When there is nothing that possible medical doctors can do for him, because if they will forgive, that demon leaves them. You know, it is black and white. Sickness is not from heaven. We were not born sick. We have the power to get delivered from every sickness that would try to hold you down. You know, and even off of your mind. You know, we have to take every thought captive to the obedience of the word. Because God is in control. Because you are his children. And we have rights in him. Those are our benefits as a born again, spirit filled believer. And a lot of times we're not partaking of our benefits. We are not doing what we need to do to get what we need to get. And you got to stay positioned in the house of the Lord. You got to stay positioned in your mind. You know, think on the good, the pure, the perfect, the lovely report. You can't be believing for healing and say one positive statement and then go undo it and say 10 things that go against what you just prayed and what you believe God for. You know, you got to get yourself out of the way. Amen. You know, in Psalms it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. You know, when we're not meditating, guess what? We're thinking on all kinds of things. And you know, you don't have the luxury as a child of God to let your mind wander. If you want to take hold of the blessings and the promises of God, you're going to have to meditate on them. You're going to have to say, yes, that's mine. You don't go in the grocery store and pick out all of your groceries and get to the checkout and pay for them and leave them there. Well, you know, you don't just go halfway in the gospel. You got to go all the way. You got to lay hold of them and say, no, that's mine. You know, because if somebody opened up the door in your house and they weren't somebody you knew and they come in and they just start seeing what they wanted, just, oh, I'll have this, and oh, that looks good, and starts taking from you, you're going to say, wait a minute, hello, who are you? Get out of here. Well, you know what? You're going to have to evict some things tonight that you've allowed. Come on, things that you have allowed in your life, in your thought life, things that have attached themselves onto you, you've got to say no. Why do we have to resist the devil and he will flee from us? Because it's something we have to do, because the price has already been paid for us. Everything that we have need of has already been taken care of. Woo! That's a revelation. Get a hold of that tonight. He's already paid the price. He's already died. He's already suffered. Oh, he's given it all to us. Now it's, what are you going to do with it? You know, in the Olympics, when they hand the baton to the next person and they take off running because they're in a race. Well, Jesus has handed the baton. He said, I must go that I would send you the comforter, and he will come and he will comfort you. Come on. He's going to lead you, guide you, and direct you into all truth, the truth of God's word. You know, I was sitting next to a lady on the plane, and I'm just going to make this short. And she did not have, she's a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, but the things that were coming out of her mouth, the choices that she had made, were not in line with the Word of God. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you've let your mind wander for so long that you are so far from the truth of God's Word, you convince yourself that what you're doing is right. And then you get Scripture, and you think that you make those Scriptures to fill in to what you're doing. It's not right. Who has bewitched you? You know, Paul had said that. Who has bewitched you? Because there is deception, but we do it to ourselves because we choose not to meditate in the Word day and night. We aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing. So unawares, these things creep in. So it's time for house cleaning. You know, you might, a lot of ladies, like one day of the week, you'll do it all. And then some people will do something every day because they're work, they're busy. And how many of you, when you clean your house, do you clean it all in one day? You try to get it all done on a Saturday. How many of you do a little something every day? Well, that's what we need to do in Scripture. We need to be taking ground every day. We need to be sweeping the floors, washing the windows of our spirits every day. They that have ears to hear, that they can hear what the Spirit's saying. Because when we fill our ears with a lot of things, come on, and too much of something, you know, everything has to be in balance. Everything has to be, you know, just, you can't just overdo it in some areas. Yes, I like to watch a little TV, but I guard my heart before out of it flow the issues of life. And so you're going to have to guard what you're seeing and what's going in, because guess what? It wants to come out. So just know that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. But just know tonight that those layers that want to come up and out, there's an expression of your faith. And just God has chosen to do it this way, through joy, through our emotions, through crying, through running, through dancing, whatever it is, because our bodies cannot contain the glory of God. Our bodies, we've got, our spirits are eternal, but our bodies are human. And our bodies can only, because Moses couldn't even look on him. Come on, the Shekinah glory was so strong. But I'll tell you what, God's power, he is all powerful. And he wants to go deep tonight. And he wants to burn some of those things out. And it's going to come as you yield to the Spirit of God. And it might be through the laughter. It might be through the running. There's going to become a release. And it's always something you've got to do, because he's already done it. Amen. So we know that as we meditate and as we practice and as we give first place to the Word and instantly obey the Word. And that's where we're going to find him. That's where we're going to find the truth of God's Word in every situation in our life. And he's going to come and clean those areas. So if you don't have a list of what you're believing God to do in this set of meetings, take inventory and then push the pressure on him to do those things. If it's in your marriage, if it's in your children, if it's on the job, whatever it is, because you got to aim for something. You got to be believing him for something. God moves. He'll jump over 1,000 people to get to one hungry person. So as you exercise your faith tonight in everything that's being said by the Spirit of God, come on, and you stir up yourselves in your most holy faith, you're gonna be changed. You're gonna see things differently. Things are gonna drop on you and in you tonight. And you're gonna, people are gonna say, my goodness, woo, you are different. What has happened to you? Because only the Spirit of God can come in and do a deep intrinsic work. So allow him to come. Just like last night, just the surge of heaven came in this place, and the power of God was walking up and down the aisles, and people were yielding. There were more people on the floor. There were just Holy Ghost, there were pile-ups. You know, the whole Ball family was over here. You got this and this and this, and just whatever. Just let your body yield. Let your, so you can drink in all that he has for you, because he wants to take off another layer tonight. I'm going to share one more testimony. There was a preacher, and in the revival, he was laying on the floor, and he was a preacher's kid, but he was older. He was in his 30s, 40s, 40s. And he said it was like a fishing hook, and that he could just see the Lord taking that forgiveness out of him. He could see him just taking that bitterness out of him, because this is God's operating table, and he wants to do a deep, deep work. But you've got to say, yes, Lord, here am I, that I am willing and I will be obedient, and you will eat the good of the land. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, you can never get too much word, can you?
No.
Come on, you can never get too much word. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me see, how many of you that the Lord's, you come, you was here yesterday morning, last night, the Lord touched you. Just raise your hand. Let me see. Just raise your hand and keep your hand up raised high. Hallelujah. Don't let your hand down. Don't get your hand down. I want to get a couple of testimonies. Don't let your hand down. If you put your hand down on purpose, he's going to call you up. Hallelujah. Want this couple here to come up? No, sister, you put your hand down. Come on up here. Come here, sister, South African. Hallelujah, come. And I want this couple to come. Hallelujah, that'll be good. Praise God. It's good to get testimonies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We'll start with South Africa. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know one word in Afrikaans. Awesome, belief.
That's please.
That is please. Hallelujah. So you know what? She lives.
Testing.
She lives. Here, come back here. She lives. What, Salisbury, correct?
Four. Salisbury.
Typical drunks. Really. Only drunk people. Only drunk people correct the pastors. Really. Or evangelists. Hallelujah. I'm playing with you, buddy. But she lives in that place. It's like 45 minutes away. You can always tell that the Lord is touching people, because you don't drive 45 minutes away unless you had an encounter with God.
Right.
Yes. You don't drive 45 minutes away to hear some motivational speech.
That's right.
Amen. Or to get some life coaching. Amen.
Amen.
No, listen. People go out of their way. People travel for days. Why? Because they've been touched by God. When God touches you, listen, nothing will stop you.
Right.
Nothing will hold you back. Amen?
Amen?
And this precious sister the Lord touched last night. And so there's people here tonight that were not here last night. So just, so it's important. So testimonies are important. Testimonies are important. How many of the Lord's touched you? Raise your hand. Well, then you need to testify about it. Don't let the enemy shut your mouth up. Hello? Don't let the enemy rob you. Come on, testify about it. Amen? So, to tell what happened to you last night.
Oh,
it started yesterday morning. I'll just start it off for you. She didn't want to be towed.
Yes, I definitely didn't want to be towed, because that was something I was concerned about. I was like, why put the towel on you? But that was like the least of my concern after the Lord touched me, because I have never felt that much joy. I literally was telling Greg about it. I could not look at you yesterday. I could not, because it was like sitting in a church with a sibling, and you know when somebody's speaking, and you look at that person, and it's like, okay, that's it. You're done. You're toast. You know, you just felt so much joy. I mean, I could not get up. I think it was like six times I was towed. I was... I couldn't even walk out of here. I was laughing so much. I was like, gosh. I literally felt like you were like my cousin or one of my friends. I was like, I could not look at you, because it's so much joy.
So the Lord touched you.
Oh my gosh, so deep. Like, yes, I've had never had that much joy.
Have you ever had that happen in church before?
No.
No. And you know, it's amazing how, you know, it's really amazing how, you know, over the centuries, how churches perceived and how churches run.
Yeah.
It's not how it was intended.
Yeah.
It's not how it was intended. It's not how it was intended.
Yeah.
You know, if you used to take an artist, and the artist was to paint a picture of the early church, and you take an artist today and paint the picture of the church today, it should be the same church, same painting.
It sure should.
Wow. But it's not. And, you know, here she comes and the Spirit of the Lord comes on her. She's never been touched like that, which is a phenomenal thing of what's happening in the meetings. But the other side of the coin is a sad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because church should, listen, as Christians, we should be known for our passion for the Lord. We should be known for our boldness for the Lord. Come on, we should be marked by fire. We should be marked by the signs and wonders and the supernatural. Amen? Because we are people that believe. And people that believe have impossible things happen on a regular basis. Amen? Come on, people that believe have impossible things happen. Come on, people who believe have impossible things happen. Come on, people who believe have impossible things happen. All things are possible to him that believe. All things are possible. Come on, all things are possible to him that believe. How many believers do we have here tonight? Well, then guess what? The impossible should be happening. Amen? And so the Lord touched her and brought her back to last night and brought her back tonight. Hallelujah.
Yes, I even told a friend and she was just in awe, like excited for me. She goes, tell me about everything. You have to text me about everything. I was like, I will text you. So,
Is she in Salisbury?
Yes, she's in Salisbury as well.
So you need to bring her.
I told her to come, but she had a spelling bee to be at. So I was like, okay, next time we'll have to come. I said, it's till Wednesday, so you have an opportunity.
Yeah, there you go. Spelling bee.
I hang out with Brainiac, so.
You should ask her to spell drunk in the Holy Ghost.
That's exactly what I said. I said I had the new wine. I'm sorry, but it's not a myth, people. It's not a myth. I said I was three sheets to the wind and didn't touch a drop. I couldn't get out of here straight, so. It's true.
Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So is there any church? Do you go to a church there?
Yes, I go to Salisbury? Northgate in Salisbury. Yeah.
Okay. Northgate. All right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord bless you. That was an awesome testimony. Isn't the Lord good?
Yeah.
Come here, you two. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, oftentimes in these meetings, I have to resist. I mean, somebody's got to be in control. No, honestly, somebody's got to be in control. Really, somebody's got to be in control. I mean, it's not a free-for-all. But what happened to you guys yesterday and last night?
Well, that one was stuck to the floor. She told me I was going to need a spatula to get her up. So, and I think that's the first time that's happened to her. She's felt joy before, but I think that's the first time she's been stuck. That happened to me a year ago down at Dr. Rodney's for the first time. As I tried to get up, but my legs wasn't moving, so I just realized that was him telling me, just stay down, I'm not done yet.
So yesterday it happened to your wife.
Oh yeah.
So I saw the video that you had to carry out.
Yep. It was past kids' bedtime, we had to go, so I was like, somebody's got to drive home, so let's get it going.
So let me ask you, so when you left here, did it stop?
No.
So what, it went home with you?
The kids were in the bed. I had to tell her to be quiet. A good 30 minutes after we were home, she would just be quiet, and all of a sudden, start again. I'm like, our 2-year-old's right next door. We
So you know it's real.
Oh yeah, and that's what I was telling her last night. Was when I was laying here, I felt like, you know, when you stick your finger in a light socket,
sure,
like 110 volt. It's not enough to hurt you, but it's enough to give you that little.
Oh yeah.
As I leaned over to her, I was like, "Can you feel that?" Because my hand was just sitting there going like that, and then it got to my toes, and I was like, "Whoa."
Yeah.
So we stayed on the floor for a while.
Isn't that awesome? Listen, it's amazing what happens on the floor.
Amen.
Yeah.
I remember we was in a church one time, and there was these two. There was this couple who were going for divorce. And one was sitting, they were not, hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And long story short, they came up and was prayed for, laying beside each other. And next thing you know, as they're on the floor, the power of God's all over them. Next thing you know, their hands go over and they start holding hands and, you know, went home and decided not to get divorced. Hallelujah. Amen. Not that that was happening here, but I'm just saying, we're on the floor, it's amazing what goes on the floor. See, that's why you should never judge. Well, what are they going on around there? It's none of your business, first off.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. It's something very mighty taking place. It's revival's an inward work.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's just an outward sign of what's happening on the inside. Amen.
Yeah.
Like water baptism, it's an outward sign of what's taking place on the inside. Amen. So that's awesome. I tell you what, I was so blessed, you know, and it's just the beginning, my brother.
Yeah, because we've been carrying stuff that related. Like, she's been carrying a lot of weight with her brother, and especially yesterday, and it's a lot of stuff shedding off where I've had a business I started, and here lately it's not been going like you want it to go. But today I got up and I had 3 jobs confirmed today.
Amen.
And last night she actually was able to go to bed with peace instead of carrying the weight.
Amen.
That she's been carrying. So it was a lot of stuff that busted off last night that we needed.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. I guess she thought she's going to get away.
Just hang on there for you.
Well, he did a great job. He did a great job staying sober. Let's hear from a drunk.
Yeah.
So what happened last night?
I was on a mouse trap. I was on a glue mouse trap to the floor. This hand was free, but that was it. Everything else was plastered to the floor.
Oh my! Listen, it's real. No, it's real. Hallelujah. And so you had to be carried out. Was that the first time you ever been carried out of church?
Yeah.
You know what? Tonight you might have to carry your husband out.
I need a hand. That's a backup.
You know, one time we was at a church one time and they went and got a dolly and put people on the dolly and rode them out to the car. Hallelujah. So what happened to you? It's real, isn't it? And it's good, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's God, isn't it?
Yes.
And do you recommend it for those that are here tonight?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You come back for some more, haven't you?
Yes. All week.
Amen.
Yes.
So tell me, was there something happening on the inside?
Yeah. It was I'm trying to pay attention right now. I'm sorry. It was good stuff.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, hon. Oh, isn't the Lord good?
Hey.
Hallelujah. He's like you were last night. He's done, isn't he? His head stuck to the floor. Hallelujah. Come, let's hear from you. What happened with you last night?
I don't know if I can describe it. It was like a pressure, like a weightiness that just, where normally, like I've experienced some of the glory of God, but I'm typically the person who gets up as soon as you can, and I couldn't get up. Then I had this one on one side, and I had Cassidy on the other side, and I had Callie next to her, and they'd be like, ha! Over and over and over and over, and I'm like, I can't win. I'm just stuck. I'm here. And God was just strengthening me, and he was giving me peace, and he was even giving me deeper healing, that just healing in my body, and just a strength that I can't even describe. It was amazing.
It's good, isn't it?
Amen.
And it's not something to come from man, is it? It's
no.
It's coming directly from heaven.
Yes,
isn't it?
Right from heaven.
His presence. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You come back for tonight for some more heaven.
Amen.
You? Amen.
Amen.
You recommend it for those that are here?
Absolutely.
Amen. Thank you. I tell you, the Lord is good.
Thank
come
you.
On, my brother. What took place last night? What happened? That's powerful, isn't it? That is powerful. Oh, right. Rabasata Rabaki.
Whoa. Okay. I really I have words. They're just not working. There they go. Yeah, so this morning.
That's so funny.
It's so not fair.
See, Buzz says, what's happening? This is called Pentecostal.
Yeah. Yeah. Fire.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the fire of the Holy Ghost.
That's the word.
It's the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, it hit me.
Yeah.
From Sunday morning.
Yeah.
From the top. From the through top. My arms.
Yeah.
Down in my body.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anything happened. Like I don't know if I fell on, I don't remember. But anyways, last night, it hit me, and I fell, and Johnny does what Johnny did and caught my neck, and it went brrrr. I said, oh, God, he broke my neck. Honestly, I thought it. I was like, I'm afraid to move it. And then I'm like, it's better. That's awesome. Like, I had a pinched nerve on Saturday. I think it must have been from riding go-karts or something. It was so bad. Honest, I woke up and I'm like, it would throb, like, right here. It was like, boom, 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 boom. And whenever I fell out, he grabbed my neck. And he wasn't, like, jerking it or nothing. He was just trying to catch my body. But my whole neck, my whole body was on my neck. And so it went. And that pain, it left. I mean, that's why I kept doing that is because. And then the Lord's like, you need to get up and run. I'm like, I wouldn't get up and run. I look stupid enough as it is. I'm going to run around the church. No. And then I'm like running and I'm like, I'm running fast. I'm running really fast. I'm like, I've never ran this fast. And my eyes are closed. This is crazy. I'm running and running and running. Yeah. Yeah. And so then we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And laugh.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Oh, Rabasata. Woo. You'll never be the same.
Amen.
Jesus. Oh, never the same. Woo. Never the same. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh. Somebody says, well, I need scripture for this. It's easy. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Do you know the world pays big money for this? Some of you in the past have paid big money to get this way. Do you know what? Listen. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. I want you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles tonight to 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 3. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Father, have your way in this house tonight. Do whatever you want to do, Lord. We yield ourselves totally and completely to you. Speak through me tonight, Lord. May my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I thank you that every individual that's here tonight under the sound of my voice, Lord, leaves this house with an impartation from heaven. That everyone here tonight, Lord, leaves this house because you, by revelation, that your word becomes alive. May your word explode in the hearts of every hearer here tonight. That every individual here tonight, Lord, may be filled with you and be a doer of your word, not just a hearer only. Lord, we give you all glory and all honor. Bring revelation tonight. And Father, may every individual that's here tonight leave with a greater understanding of who you are. And we give you all praise and all glory, and we worship and we honor you tonight in Jesus' name. Have your way. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Ahab's son Joram began to rule over Israel in the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 12 years, and he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, but not to the same extent as his father and his mother. He at least tore down the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had set up. Nevertheless, he continued in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had committed and led the people of Israel to commit. King Misha of Moab was a sheep breeder. He used to pay the king of Israel an annual tribute of 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab's death, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Joram promptly mustered the army of Israel and marched from Samaria. On the way, he sent this message to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you join me in battle against him? And Jehoshaphat replied, well, of course, you and I are as one. My troops are your troops, and my horses are your horses. Then Jehoshaphat asked, what route will we take? We will attack from the wilderness of Eden, Joram replied. The king of Edom and his troops joined them, and all three armies traveled along a roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days. But there was no water for the men or their animals. What should we do? The king of Israel cried out, the Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us. But King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, we can ask the Lord what to do through him. One of King Joram's officers replied, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. Jehoshaphat said, yes, the Lord speaks through him. So the king of Israel, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, and king of Edom went to consult with Elisha. Why are you coming to me? Elisha asked the king of Israel. Go to the pagan prophets of your father and mother. But King Joram of Israel said, no, for it is for it was the Lord who called us three kings here, only to be defeated by the king of Moab. Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother with you except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now bring me someone who can play a harp. While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord, or King James says the hand of the Lord, or you could say the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, came upon Elisha. And he said, this is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other animals, but this is only a simple thing for the Lord, for he will make you victorious over the army of Moab. You will conquer the best of their towns, even the fortified ones. You will cut down all their good trees, stop up all their springs, and ruin all their good land with stones. And we can stop there and we keep reading. But I want to talk to you about the Spirit of the Lord, the mighty Spirit of the Lord. I want you to see something here from the prophet Elisha. Notice, I want you to notice that he wouldn't do anything until the Spirit of the Lord came. Yep. He wouldn't even give instruction until the Spirit of the Lord came. He didn't operate through natural wisdom. Even though through natural wisdom, he could have told him what to do. But yet, I want you to notice that the prophet of God did nothing except by the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that we are the church of the living God. I want you to understand something tonight, that we are the blood-bought church. We are the greatest army. We are the greatest force in the earth. There's absolutely no army that can defeat the church. Let's understand, the enemy cannot defeat us. Satan cannot defeat us. He's already defeated. No, there's no power of darkness that can defeat us. There's no government, there's no land that can defeat us. We are the church. And it's time for the church to come into an understanding by the Spirit of God of who you are. It's time for the church to rise up and be the church. It's time for the church to be the mighty force in the land. It's time for the church to take territory. It's time for the church to go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's time for the church to go forth with the hand of God upon their life. It's time for the church to go forth baptized in the fire of God and to go forth and defeat and destroy and push back the kingdom of darkness. Yeah. And take territory, because God has called us to advance his kingdom. And you cannot advance the kingdom of God first off when your motives are wrong. You cannot advance the kingdom of God when you're about your kingdom. You cannot advance the kingdom of God in your own power. You cannot advance the kingdom of God in your own strength. You cannot advance the kingdom of God in your own wisdom. You cannot advance the kingdom of God until you hook up with God himself.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I want you to notice that Elisha did nothing. He did nothing in the natural. And it's amazing how they're so quick to speak and so quick to give forth natural wisdom. But the reality is, everything we do, we have to do by the Holy Spirit. Everything we do, we must do by the Holy Spirit. Everything we do, we must do by the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to understand something. Everything that God does in the earth, he does by the Holy Spirit. And we read, you know, we tried last night to read certain scriptures. And hallelujah. But, you know, we read to you from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And we read to you from Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the point was this, is that the Spirit of God, the Word of God, begins with the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God ends with the Holy Spirit. And you can go through every book of the Bible and see the Holy Spirit. You can see the display of the Holy Spirit. You can see the working of the Holy Spirit. Understand something tonight. Everything that God does, he does by the Holy Spirit. That's why we must step out of the realm of flesh and step over into the realm where we are called to live, and that's in the realm of the Spirit. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And understand, Elisha, he's an example for us. Elisha did nothing unless he did it by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He did nothing unless he did it by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He did nothing unless he did it by the Holy Spirit. He did nothing unless he did it by the Holy Spirit. And we've got example after example after example throughout the Word of God.
Yeah.
Every book of the Bible, you can see Elijah. You can see David. You can see Solomon. You can see mighty men of God. You can see even step over into the New Testament. I mean, just look at everything that God has done. I mean, even to the birth of Jesus. It was all by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Jesus was not born of a natural man. Joseph was... Understand, it wasn't the blood of Joseph that flowed through the veins of Jesus.
Right.
Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
And Jesus is our example. Jesus did nothing. Jesus did nothing unless he saw his Father do it. Amen? Jesus only did what he saw his Father do. Everything Jesus did by the Holy Spirit. That's why I made the statement last night. You know what? If I don't see it in the ministry of Jesus, then I'm not going to accept it into my life.
Yeah.
Amen? If I don't see it happening in the church, I'm not going to accept it in my own life. The Word of God is our guide.
Yes.
Amen? Don't get away from the Word of God. I remember, this has been a number of years ago, I remember one guy, came to, to a certain, revival and he got up and he got up in his church and he took his Bible and took it and threw it on the ground. And he said, you know what? He says, this thing's outdated. We don't need this anymore. Because, he went to some so-called revival and now they got into progressive revelation and the Word of God is, it's outdated, that's a lie from hell. He was a demon spirit that lied to him. Hello?
Amen.
And I promise you right now, you get away from the Word of God and you start, your life will be destroyed.
Yes.
The Word of God is the basis for everything we believe. Amen?
Amen.
Why do you believe what you believe? Can you back it up with Scripture? Why do you believe what you believe? Come on, why do you believe what you believe?
Yeah.
No, why do you believe what you believe? Many have gone to the extreme. Some people think, and you go to some circles, some people think the Word of God follows signs and wonders, but it doesn't. Signs and wonders follow the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen? Signs and wonders follows the Word of God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen.
And that's why, people think, well, we're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are. And the Holy Spirit is the one that we hook up with. But guess what? Everything the Holy Ghost speaks and everything the Holy Ghost does is in line with the Word of God. Because he will not understand something. He takes that of the Father and reveals it to us. That's why we got to hook up with the Holy Spirit. He redeems our life from destruction. We have to hook up with the Holy Spirit, and we have to stop operating by natural wisdom. We have to stop operating out of the flesh. We have to begin to operate by the Spirit. And when you step over and operate by the Spirit and live by the Spirit, then you're going to see miraculous things take place. And miraculous things should be taking place in our lives on a regular basis.
Right.
Hello, listen to me. Miraculous things should be happening on a regular basis. Miraculous things should be happening on a regular basis.
Amen.
Miraculous things. We're called to signs and wonders.
Amen.
Amen? We're called to signs and wonders. Jesus said, if you want to know what's supposed to be happening in your life, just read Mark, the 16th chapter. The Bible says there's certain signs that's going to follow them that believe.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
There's certain signs that's going to follow them that believe. And you know what? And if none of those signs are following you, you have to ask the question, do you really believe?
Right.
I mean, we've come to the place now in the church. I mean, Jesus said we'll cast out devils. I mean, we've come to the place now in the church world, we don't cast out devils anymore. We counsel them. He didn't say counsel devils.
Right.
He said cast them out.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen? And the Bible says the Lord went with them, working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen? We had the Word of God as the basis for everything we believe. The Word of God is the basis for everything we believe. You get away from the Word of God and you're going to step over into a territory where you're powerless and you'll be defeated.
Right.
Even though the devil's defeated, Yet you try to do something apart from God and apart from the Holy Spirit and apart from the Word of God, and you'll be defeated.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen? Amen. Understand, Jesus is our example. He was born of the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. And He was sent forth by the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. We are baptized in the Spirit. And we're sent forth by the Spirit. Everything we do by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everything we do by the Holy Ghost. And signs and wonders should be happening. Thank God for signs and wonders that takes place in the church. Thank God that people come in here and this is the, you know, this is a watering hole. This is a place where the presence of God can come and people can get in His presence. Amen. That's why you should never make a decision until you first get in His presence. Because in His presence is truth. And in His presence, you'll know what to do. Hello, in His presence, you'll know what to do. In His presence, you'll know what to do. Even though in the natural, it might look like it's the thing to do and it looks right and everything's falling in place and everything, you know, everything's everything you wanted. But you come in the presence of God and you're going to get a yay or a nay.
Yeah.
Come on, you get in the presence of God and you're going to know if you're doing the right thing or not. You come and get in the presence of God and then whatever, listen, whatever He says, you better do. Amen. Don't make any decision until you get in the presence of God. And so many people make decisions and they wonder why God allowed it. God has to allow it.
Right.
Because He gives us the choice.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And people, it's amazing how people could leave a church where the Word of God is proclaimed, where the richness is, the Word of God goes forth, where the Spirit of God is allowed to move, where the Spirit of God is not hindered, and yet they'll leave that church because, you know what, they're going to go somewhere and make more money.
Right.
And really what they put a limitation on God because, you know, the reality is God can actually bless you more where you are than where you're going.
Right.
Yes.
You know, really it's a mindset that people have, but people limit God. Understand something. He's more than enough.
Yes.
No, understand. He's more than enough.
Yes.
Come on. He's more than enough.
Yes.
No, He's more than enough.
Yes.
Amen. And you better check with the Holy Spirit. You better check with the Holy Spirit. You better make sure that the Spirit of God is telling you to do it. Because if you do something that you're not supposed to do, then you're going to step out from under His protection. And you're going to wonder, why is God allowing this to happen? He has to,
right,
because you're in disobedience.
Right.
That's right.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I remember a number of years ago, this pastor wanted me to come to his church, and I told him, I said, look, you know, when we come, revival's going to come. The fire of God's going to fall. There's going to be some wild things that happen. There's going to be some supernatural things that happen.
Amen.
You know, because we're called to signs and wonders. Glory to God.
Amen?
Amen? We're called to signs and wonders. Every single person here, everyone here tonight under the sound of my voice should be operating signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Oh, you're going to see, I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, from this week, you're going to see a mighty increase in your life and in this church. You're going to see a mighty increase. You're going to see a mighty increase in the area of the finances in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I did. I'm sitting here in the seat in the front row, and I saw the vision. I heard these words telling me that it all come to pass and more.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God.
Oh, sometimes in the natural we don't know how, but that's how you can tell it's God.
Yeah.
Somebody says, how can you tell the difference between God's dreams He gives me and my dreams? Because it's very easy, because your dreams, you can sit down at your desk, take out a little legal pad, and check off the points of what you've got to do for it to come to pass. But you try to sit down at your desk and take the legal pad out and write down the points of the vision that God gave you, and you'll go, you won't know how to do it. Why? Because it's so big. Understand something. God doesn't do anything small.
Right.
He's a big God, not a small God.
Right.
Come on, He doesn't do anything halfway.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
But yet everything that God does, He does by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's here on the earth today. And He does everything by the Holy Spirit. That's why God will not accept anything that's done because it's a good idea.
Right.
God only accepts that which is done by the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yeah.
All else is wood, hay, and stubble. All else will be burned in the fire. Amen? Hallelujah. I remember here not long ago, I heard the story about this missionary I mean, he's in his 80s, and he spent most of his life on the mission field in this certain nation, and his wife even died over there. And so, you know, he's like 85, 86 years old, and he came back to America, and he goes into this nice big church. It was jam-packed, and they had the latest everything going on, the TV cameras, and the young pastor in his 30s, and he's sitting in the back, and he actually got a little discouraged because he began to compare what he did to what, you know, this young pastor is doing. And he got a little discouraged, and he began to talk to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said to him, he said, here's what the Lord said to him. The Lord said, son, your rewards await you. His rewards is here. Meaning what? Because listen, people are fruit, especially in America. You can build a nice, big, beautiful building. You can build a big building and fill it with people, but yet it's full of dead men's bones.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you can build some nice, big, beautiful building without God.
Yeah.
And pack it.
Yeah.
Come on. The Mormons prove that.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? Listen, but we got to make sure that everything we're doing by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
We're doing by the Holy Ghost. Come on, we're doing it by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And so this pastor, you know, he had wanted me to come, and so I came, and I said, look, we're going to have revival. We're going to have a move of God, and yeah, that's what we want. So I said, okay. I said, so we went there, and I mean, there's probably like 500 people there. And we know, on Sunday morning, man, you know something's happening on Sunday morning. This was Sunday morning. And I, the fire of God began to fall. Next thing I know, people took off. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, a couple. I mean, there's 500 people there. I mean, many of them took off, started running. I mean, there were so many running, I had to tell them, look, if you're going to run the same direction. I mean, it's... And, you know, and then Sunday night was the same thing. Man, the power of God. Matter of fact, my wife and I, we just saw her son just here a couple of weeks ago. His mom was sitting in the meeting, and she had an incurable blood disease. Had all these blood clots, and, I mean, she wasn't supposed to live. No, she wasn't supposed to live. She only had, I mean, weeks. She wasn't supposed to live. And yet the fire of God came on her. She felt the Spirit of God, the very thing that came upon Elisha. And as Elijah gave instructions to the kings, the same Spirit, you know, the same Spirit that came upon Elisha is the same Spirit that's here tonight.
Yeah.
Come on. It's the same Spirit that comes and fills us. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same Spirit that we yield to.
Yeah.
Hello. And the Spirit of God came on her. Her whole body began to burn like fire. And she was totally healed by the power of God.
Amen.
It was a Sunday night. Same thing. Sunday night, the fire of God fell. Well, Monday morning, the pastor, you know, after the morning service, the pastor, maybe it was before the morning service, but the pastor said, look, we're going to have to end these meetings on Wednesday. I said, well, pastor, you know, that's not our agreement. I said, our agreement was to, you know, go through Friday. He said, yeah, I know. He said, but we just need to end them on Wednesday. And I'm like, you know, listen, my wife and I, we've conducted about almost 8,000 revivals. I mean, it's not our first rodeo. You know what I mean? I'm not an expert yet, but I mean, I can never be an expert. But yet we, you know, a little bit. And so I said to the pastor, okay, pastor, what's he or she saying? Because I knew it was always just one or two. It's always just one or two. You know, the thing that amuses me more than anything is that the pastors that will yield to the one or two and forget about the 99. And I said, so what's he or she saying? Well, there was one lady that came into his office in the Monday morning and came in his office and demanded that he shut the meetings down. And I said, I bet she's got a lot of money, don't she?
Uh-huh.
And the pastor was going to yield to her. And I'm sitting here thinking, you mean you have people in your church that's been healed. You have people that's so excited because finally they believe the revival's come. They've been praying for this. And in one service, you're going to yield to one lady that's full of a religious devil who's got money. And you're going to yield to her and you're going to shut it down. And I said, pastor, I said, you better make sure what you do. I said, we're going to be fine no matter what you do. Because you're not our source.
Right.
I said, you better make sure what you're doing it because the Holy Ghost tells you to do it. Because here's the thing. I said, Pastor, if you do it based upon this religious devil and you grieve the Holy Ghost and you grieve him, you might not get him back. Can't play games. And I said, and you know what? And I said, let me tell you what I would do. If it was me, I would purposely extend the meeting because she told me to shut them down.
Right,
man. Yes. And I'm not, and listen, I'm not just saying that. I've done it.
Yeah.
No, I've done it. My wife and I, we were up in Tokoe, Alaska many years ago. And we went to this church, and because we were at another church for 3 weeks in Alaska, and this couple came down and got really touched and, you know, got healed. And so, hey, so we went up to Tokoe, Alaska. I mean, and I didn't backslide either. That's the name of the town, Tokoe, Alaska. And went up to, oh, yeah, some of you know. I just found you out. And so we're there, the power of God began to fall, and next thing you know, they got up a petition in town. It's a town of 1,000 people in northern Alaska, freezing. And they got up a petition to throw me out of town because I was the devil. The devil had come to Tokoe. I was a false prophet. No, that's what they said. I mean, I went into one of the stores, which was like a hotel, fire station, police department, you know, hospital, everything. I mean, it's a little grocery store. Yeah, I mean, bank, everything. And yeah, a little one-stop shop. And I went in there, and, you know, obviously, you know, a town of 1,000 people, basically everybody knows everybody. And, you know, I'm the stranger. And I went to get something for a hotel room, and we had a worship leader travel with us at the time. And I put it on the counter, and the lady's all happy, and, you know, and she looks at me and goes, oh, well, what brings you to our town? And she starts ringing things up. I said, you know, I said, oh, I'm here on business. And she goes, oh, really? What kind of business are you in? And I said, oh, I'm a minister. She said, oh, really? Praise the Lord. She said, what church are you at? And I told her the church I'm at, and she freezes. And she looks up at me, and she goes, oh, you're the one. And I guess I'm the one, you know. And maybe she signed the petition. Who knows? And, you know, what's so funny? The first few nights, I mean, the Spirit of God was moving in a mighty way. The place was about 75% full. Then when the word got out that the devil's in town, the next night, the church is jam-packed, standing room only. And I'm sitting here thinking, seriously. You people should be excited that I'd even come to this God-forsaken place. And I did. My wife can tell you. She was there. I got up, and the place was packed on Wednesday night. I said, I know there's some of you here, and you've got up a petition to throw me out of town. I said, what you should have done is just be quiet, because I was supposed to leave on Friday night. But just because you're trying to throw me out of town, I'm staying another week. I did. Didn't I? I did. Then we stayed another week. And have you ever said something, then thought about it afterwards and like, oh, and I should have said this?
Yeah.
I got to thinking about it afterwards, and I thought, you know, and I should have said, and if you keep on, I'll start a church here. And I send Pastor Brian and Nicole up to pastor it. I mean, yeah, you know, you can't yield to that spirit of religion.
No, you can't.
I mean, every night there was this one lady. This is just Alaska. Every night I had this one lady. She's like, it's a little old lady. She's like 80-some years old. And every night she had to come hug me, which I didn't mind. But the problem was, is that she used to carry a pistol in a bra. And every night she'd come to hug me and like, there it is. She'd sit on her porch and rock with a shotgun. No, that's just Alaska. And no, but you gotta fight that spirit. You cannot yield to that spirit.
That's right.
You cannot yield to that spirit. I mean, you can't yield to it. You know, it's just like I had a pastor, you know, in a certain state. I'm driving with him in a car, and a very large church. I mean, a few thousand members, and we're driving in his car, and I can't remember where we was going. I don't know if he was going to have lunch or play golf or something. I can't even remember. But anyway, we're sitting in his car, and he said, "Man," he said, "Man, I got this car, and I think I'm going to have to get rid of it." I'm like, "Why?" He said, "There's people in my church, they're talking. They're complaining." I said, "Pastor, it's a Ford." I said, "It's a Ford. Oh, excuse me. It's a glorified Ford. It's a Lincoln." I said, "It's not like it's a S550 Mercedes, and who cares if it was that? Hello, it's not like it was a Phantom Rolls Royce, but who cares if it was that?
Right.
It's a Ford." He must drive a Ford. I said, "It's a town car. It's a Lincoln town car." I said, "Seriously? I mean, nothing wrong with Fords. I mean, I drive one, but seriously." He said, "You don't think I should get rid of it?" I said, "Absolutely not." He said, "Well, what'd you do?" I said, "I'd buy another one for my wife." Have two. No, you can't yield it.
You can't.
And what I said to this pastor that wants to end the meetings on Friday, I said, "Pastor, you better make sure it's the Holy Ghost." I said, "But let me tell you something right now." And here's what I said to him. I said, "If you yield to this religious devil, then you're going to be a slave to this religious devil.
Right.
And you know what? You're going to be a slave to this woman. And everything you go to do, you're going to have to get permission from this woman because you're going to be a slave now." I said, "You'll even have to ask her if you can go pee." No, I'm serious. Because it'll come in. Because whatever you yield to will control you.
Yes. Right.
That's right.
Yep.
And you know what? And we started talking. We went to lunch. And you know, he had one of those. Remember that commercial on TV with the high karate? What was it? Now I'm really dating myself. You remember the high karate commercials? The cologne, the high karate? You remember that? You don't? Jeez, I'm really dating myself now. How many remember that commercial? Remember the high karate when he puts it on and puts it on fast? Ah! You know, how many remember that?
Yeah.
You know the high karate comes in a little green bottle?
Yeah.
Or Old Spice or whatever. You remember, maybe it was the Old Spice. Brute. And he had one of those moments. And he's like, slapped himself while we're sitting eating. He said, "We ain't shutting these meetings down." He actually ended up going for a couple of weeks. But you know, the thing was so amazing is that, understand something, Satan hates the anointing.
Yeah.
I want you to understand something. Satan hates the anointing. You know why he hates the anointing? Because he knows about the anointing. Because he was anointed.
Yeah.
Now, he corrupted it. But yet, Satan knows what happens when a church embraces the anointing
yes.
of God. Satan knows what happens when a church comes and gets filled with the Spirit of God
yeah.
and yields to the Spirit of God. Come on, and flows with the Spirit
yeah.
of God.
Yeah.
He knows that he's lost now.
Yeah.
He knows that there's absolutely nothing he can do.
Yeah.
Because that church is no longer backed by the spirit of religion. That church is his spirit. That church is backed by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The very one that defeated him and raised Jesus from the dead. Hello.
Amen. Come on.
I'm doing my best, buddy. Hallelujah. Good stuff, huh? Coming from another drinker. Hallelujah. No, but that's the truth. And you know what happened that night? Let me tell you what happened that night. That night, a lady came into the service. And she's sitting under the end of the service. And I seen the anointing of God. I was drawn to her. And I said, "Ma'am," I still remember her name. Her name was Tracy. I said, "Ma'am, come and step up here on the aisle." And she came and stepped out on the aisle. And I went to lay my hands on her. And when I did, the power of God hit her and knocked her to the floor. She gets stuck to the floor for about a half hour. She did. She got stuck to the floor for about a half hour. But you know what I didn't know? I didn't know. That's why you got to follow the Holy Ghost. Even as a leader and as a minister, even though you're going in a direction that doesn't make sense to you, but yet who cares? It ain't about you anyway. It's about you following the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost knows what you need. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will take the pastor off on some trail just for one person. And you know what? But I didn't know that this woman had a death sentence. I didn't know this woman only had 2 months to live. Wow. I didn't know that this woman had been operated on 3 times by one doctor, and the doctor, this third time, just sewed her back up and gave her a death sentence because cancer spread throughout her body into her bones. And I didn't know that as she's laying on the floor that she had 52 tumors on her body. But guess what happened? She stuck to the floor that night. She gets up, and every single tumor's disappeared.
Yeah.
Every single tumor's gone. Every single tumor's gone. And the spirit of God, the anointing of God came on her. Guess what? And she was totally healed by the power of God. Amen. That week, we had incredible things happen. But oh, that's why the enemy... And understand something about the enemy. You know, the Bible says don't be ignorant of his devices. He has nothing new. That's why every 25, 30 years, you'll see... There's nothing new. You'll see things come back around. And if you're in the ministry long enough, you'll see things come back around. Just like a few years ago, it was the warfare. Everybody's shouting at the screaming at the devil, which is not even scriptural. It's amazing how people do things that's not even scriptural. They're shouting at the devil. Hello. Come on.
Yeah.
You don't even have to shout. Just use the name. You can whisper that name and he has to bow.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And people going, and they don't understand because you start doing something outside of the Holy Ghost and you'll hook yourself up to familiar spirits.
Amen.
Right. That's why you got to make sure what you're doing is by the Holy Ghost, not because it's you. Hello.
Yes.
Yep. And we had people and all doing all this warfare stuff. It was just nonsense. And people coming into church, dressing up in army fatigues. No, I'm serious. Going to do spiritual battle. No, people going off to army surplus stores and buying the combat boots and buying the army fatigues and coming in and ha, and they're going to war. But I don't realize the battle, that the victory's already been won. Hello, the victory's already been won. We're to walk in his defeat. Hello.
Yeah.
Death has been defeated. Hello. Sickness and disease has been defeated. The kingdom of darkness has been defeated. Jesus triumphed over him, made a show of him openly. Hello. He's been defeated.
Amen.
See, everything that the enemy does, he has no new devices. Everything he does is he brings into the church for the church to hook up because it gets the church away from the anointing. It gets the church away from what we're talking about, the very anointing, the Spirit of God that came upon Elisha. Because understand, when you get out from the anointing, you cannot do anything to the kingdom of darkness. When you get out from the Spirit of God, when you get out from the anointing of God, you can't do anything to benefit the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
You know, people dressed up and they come in even, huh? People dress up and in these army gear and army fatigues and, you know, they're going to war. And they're shouting at the devils. No, shouting at the devils. Then they get really stupid and they got into spiritual mapping. Well, we got to find out what the town was started on so we know what spirit's in the town. The next thing you know, they become more devil conscious than Holy Ghost conscious. And when you're devil conscious, you won't do anything to benefit the kingdom of heaven. Hello? When you're devil conscious, you won't be a benefit to the kingdom of heaven. If you're devil conscious, something's wrong. You need to be Holy Ghost conscious. You need to be Jesus conscious. Amen? You need to be conscious of your Heavenly Father, not some devil. Hello? I remember one time I was in Scotland. And the pastor put me up to this. We always stay in hotels. No, dude, we stay in hotels. This is what we do for a living. You know, this is my life. Listen. And we don't retire. I don't believe in retirement.
That's right.
This is not some natural job. This is a calling from heaven. Hello, we don't retire. I won't ever retire. When I, if it's another 100 years before the Lord comes back, I'll be 90-some years old, still doing what I'm doing right now. I don't want to retire.
Amen.
Amen. I don't even have a retirement. Oh, listen, I'm serious.
It's not in the Bible.
That's right.
See, that's the hallelujah. People come to church and they get filled with the Holy Ghost and get filled with the Word, and they help the evangelist preach. Yeah. She's doing a good job, though. I like you. You keep it up. And she's right. But, you know, and so I'm over in Scotland, so I stay in hotels. You know, I don't stay with people. I don't want to stay with people. I don't like people. I'm teasing. I love people. Actually, I love people. That was a joke. It's like one pastor said, you know, ministry would be wonderful if it wasn't for people. Well, that's why you're in it, for people.
Right.
You know, go sell cars then. For some reason, that's what preachers do when they get out of the ministry. They go, all go sell cars. So I'm in Scotland, and my wife wasn't with me. My wife just goes. You know, I'm a little bit more gentle. My wife just she just goes for the juggler. I mean, and that's fine. That's how she's made. And that's why the Lord uses her. And so we were, you know, the pastor kept, you know, arguing with her. I said, I stay in hotels. I don't want to stay with the people because first off, they want to come and they'll spend hours telling me about some revelation that's kooky. I'm not interested in a revelation. I'm not interested in what the Lord shows you. I'm just being honest. Just leave me alone. And so finally, I'm like, okay. He just kept on and kept on and kept on. And we go to this lady's house, and he said, well, she's a wealthy lady, and she's got a big house, and you'll have plenty, you know, you'll have some of the house to yourself. Okay. I'm in Scotland, okay. So I get to the lady's house, and as soon as I walk in, immediately I know she's a nut. She's a nut. And that's being nice. Because we sit down at the table, she had dinner ready, and we sit down at the table. She wants to pray. Well, you should pray. You're supposed to pray. That's not how she prayed. Because we sit down at the table. She's insisting on praying. I was going to pray. No, I'm going to pray. She steps down at the head of the table. Here's how she prayed. In the name of Jesus, I curse you, Satan, you come out of this hood. She's casting the devil out of the food. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, she made it. I'm like, oh God, this is why I don't stay with people. Why I don't stay with people? And what's that? That's how you're playing to lunch tomorrow. But she did. She shouted. And her son was just as groovy because as soon as she shouted, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, come out, come out, come out. I'm like, oh my God. Come out. She made it. And then she tries to tell me how her and her son went to Mount Sinai. This is something just came out. And that's what she did. She went to Mount Sinai. Let's see if that's the trumpet. Okay, we're still here. It's not the trumpet. I don't care who you are, that's funny right there. And so we're sitting there, and she's trying to tell me how she went, her and her son went up to Mount Sinai and cast the devil down, and so now the devil's after her. And she's trying to tell me, and then she starts whispering. And she goes, I'm like, what? She goes, Dad, Chris, that's my husband. I'm like, what? She goes, shh. So the Antichrist has your houseboat. The Antichrist has her housebug. And then I said, you know, then I dismissed myself. I'm done. I said to another pastor that's with me. Matter of fact, we'll have a couple pastors here tomorrow night. And some people from North Carolina, Greensboro are coming. And he was with me, and I'm my worship leader. And I looked at him, I said, you guys can stay here. I got to go up to the room. And the one pastor, I'll go with you, my worship. No, I think I'll go with you. So I went up to the room, and the pastor and I staying in the same bedroom. And it's a big bedroom with two different beds. She's... You got to say that these days. We were not sleeping in this. He had his bed to the side. I had my bed to the side. And I said to him, look, lock the door. Because that theme song was going through my head. No, but I mean, I could tell you some other things that happened. You know, about the son who was 26 years old and, you know. But my point is that you get away from the Word of God, you start hooking yourself up with devils and you'll not even be useful. You'll make no difference. You will not advance the kingdom of God, which we're all called to do, and you'll make no dent. You'll be no threat to the kingdom of hell.
That's right.
You'll be no threat to the kingdom of darkness. That's what the Bible says, don't be ignorant of his devices. Amen? But every 25, 30 years, things come back around. You know, the warfare things die down, but you know, here in another 15 years, it'll come back. It'll be another warfare stuff, and we'll go through the same thing all over again. This you have the shofars and... You know, then you have the people. They'll come dressing in. They'll come in with their big flags, and they'll come in with their little ballerina outfits on. No, they'll come, and they'll come in with their, and they got to be interpreters of the glory, which is it's just all flesh. It's all flesh. That's all it is. You know, they come and they got their flags, and they got their little tutus, and you know, and they. No, I'm serious. And yet the whole purpose... No, I'm totally serious. Then you have people crawling around on their hands and knees. You know, crawling around on their hands and knees. You know, barking like dogs. No. I was in a church in Washington. You know, they got into this... They went to some revival and they're barking like dogs. And I told them, I said, you do that in my meeting, I'll take a newspaper to you. And yet they think they're being very spiritual, but the reality is there's no spirituality to it at all. See, but here's what happens, is that people replace the glory of God, people replace the gold for the brass.
That's right.
People replace the gold for the brass. People replace the glory of God for entertainment. And we've come to a place in the church world to where church people know far more about entertainment and hype than they do the very presence of God.
Yeah, right.
Hello?
Yeah.
People have come to the place where we have leaders today more concerned with about the flesh of people than they do with the will of the Father. That's why you have all these churches that pride themselves in an hour service. And the only thing that does is appeals to the flesh of man.
Right.
That's right.
Hello? We don't like long services. But they actually, we can't, people can't. And you hear people, they explain themselves, and it's all fleshly.
Yeah.
It's all fleshly. No, listen to him. It's all flesh. What am I saying? Everything we do, everything we in our church, everything we do must be done by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen? Not the dictates of the flesh. We do nothing. We do nothing because some survey's been handed out. What's the majority of the people say? Who gives a rip what the majority of the people say? To be honest with you, and I'm not trying to offend you, but listen to me. Who cares what you think? No, I'm serious, and I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm telling you, it's not about what you think. We only do, this man, your pastor, doesn't do anything based upon what you think. He does things based upon what the Father says. Because the Lord Jesus is the head of the church, and he's only, listen, the only thing he has to do is yield to the head of the church. What's the head of the church say? Not with the people in the church, the head of the church. Because when you yield to the head of the church, you have his presence. When you yield to people, you have people's presence. When you yield to the head of the church, you have his glory. When you yield to the head of the church, you have his power. When you yield to the head of the church, you have... You have him working with you. When you yield to people, and we're never to yield to people. And people do things based upon what people think. It's not about what people think. It's what thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Amen? It's not about what people think. In my church, who cares what I... Who cares? I mean, the church I attend. Who cares what I think? It's not about what I think.
That's so good.
That's what the Father says.
Yes.
Because remember, Jesus only did what he saw his Father do.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Listen, trust me. There's enough religious churches in this area. Don't need another one. And listen, and if you like a service, and I know nobody here. I'm always hungry. Only hungry people come out on Monday night. But you know what? People come, and you know you like a church that has just a, you know what's going to happen. Has the same thing happen every Sunday, you know, and get out at 12 o'clock, you know, so you can go to some restaurant. Listen, I'll tell you what. There's many of churches in the area that accommodate you, but this ain't one of them. Because it ain't about anything like that. It's about what the Father says.
That's right.
But yet that's why this church is shaking cities. That's why this church has a vision. And you saw all those cities and all those towns is going to have churches there. Hello?
Yeah.
Glory to God. It has nothing to do with people. It has everything to do with the Father. But yet when you do what the Father says, way more people is going to be reached.
Yeah.
Amen? It's what the Holy Ghost says. We got to get back to the Holy Ghost. We got to get back to the Holy Ghost. We got to get back to our heritage. Our heritage is Pentecost. Our heritage is Pentecost. Our heritage is Pentecost. Well, you know, Brother Richard, people can't sit over an hour. That's a lie from hell. And if you believe that, then you've believed a lie from hell. And that's one reason why you're in bondage. That's a lie from hell. People want to sit over an hour. People go sit 4 hours for a football game. Don't tell me people won't sit over an hour.
Yeah.
People go sit 3 hours and watch some stupid movie that Hollywood's produced.
Yeah.
And they'll pay $20 or $25. I don't even know. I can't even tell you the last time I went to a movie. $50. They'll go pay $50 to go watch, you know, some stupid movie that's not even real.
Yeah.
And they'll sit and get cussed out. They'll pay to get cussed out.
Yeah. That's true.
And they'll justify it. Oh, it's just a movie.
Yeah.
No, you're compromising.
That's right.
And you compromise in one area, you start compromising a lot of areas.
Right.
You're compromising. And you sit there for 3 hours and watch that stuff. Hello. You pay $15 for a Coke that's got that much Coke in it.
Yeah.
You paid $20 for a thing of popcorn. That'll stay in your body for years. Popcorn stays in your body for years. And then they'll come to church, and you know, they'll get mad because the pastor talks about money, but yet they didn't get mad when they went to the counter, and the lady said, that'll be
$20.
Oh, there's two of us. I'm sorry, that'll be 50. No, I'm serious.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember. You know what? I remember the last movie I went to. How many years ago was that? It was years ago. And I walked up to the counter, and I got mad at the lady. I mean, I didn't say anything to her, and she didn't see that I was mad, but inside I was mad. Because I went up to the counter, and the lady said to me, "Oh, would that be two seniors?" I was like upset. See, I didn't even enjoy the movie. I was like, think about, would that be two seniors? Seniors? When I turned, they sent me some, what is that card called?
ARP
card. I refused to use that thing. I don't want an ARP card. I ain't using that thing. I'm going. Well, you get a discount. I'm the child. Listen, I'm the blessed of the Lord. He's commanded his blessings upon me. You think I'm concerned about a couple dollars? Give me a break. See, that's a mindset now.
That's right.
It's all a trick. It's a mindset. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Your mindset has to line up with the Word of God,
right.
Not society.
That's right.
Two seniors. Should have burned the theater down, two seniors. Just joking, internet world. Don't go burn something down. It's a joke. But the preacher said. I'm telling the truth. How long is the meeting going to go? Well, you didn't ask that when you went to the football game.
That's right.
I got to get up early. You didn't ask that when you served the devil and used to go to parties.
That's the priority. Yeah.
No, some of you here, if I get a show of hands, you'd raise your hand. I'll raise both of mine. Some of you used to party every night. And you'd go to parties, and you'd party, and you'd drink, and you'd party 2, 3, 4 in the morning. You know you got to get up 5, 6 o'clock and go to work. You didn't care. Why? Because you're partying. Because you're yielding to the devil. Didn't even know it at the time, but you were. You was yielding to spirits. And enjoyed yielding to spirits. And getting filled with those spirits. Getting all drunk and having a good time. Ooh, living it up. Get home, didn't even know how you got home. Wake up beside some stranger. That when you met them that night, they were beautiful. Now you look at them and it's like, oh my God. You know I'm telling the truth. Let's just keep it real. Look, go, ah! Then you're sick as a dog and you crawl to the bathroom and you hug Uncle John. Next thing you know, guess what? Then you give him an offering. And you know we did that. And you know what? And while all that's going on, you can't wait for work to be done so you can do it again that night. Hello? Nobody asked, well, how long is this party going to go? Hello?
That's right.
But how come now all of a sudden we can be that radical for hell? We can be that radical for the kingdom of darkness, but all of a sudden we get saved and we come to church. Well, how long is the meeting going to go? You never asked that when you were partying in the world.
That's so good.
Hello?
Yep.
Matter of fact, when they shut the bar down, you got mad. Hello? Then you come to church. Come to church and get mad. I ain't going back to church. Went forever. Then they go home and they sit and they don't go to bed when they get home because they got to go work. They go home and turn the TV on and sit in front of the TV for 2 or 3 hours. Hello? Didn't mean for it to get so quiet in this Presbyterian church, but it's the truth. And really, people just reveal their hunger for God.
That's right.
Or their lack of it. Hello.
That's right.
You know, now here we are, it's football season. Now it's football season. You know, people, you know, America's gone into worshiping football.
Yeah.
And that's become worship. They worship football.
That's true.
And then they'll say, you know, all of a sudden you have people who are not worshipers. All of a sudden, it's football season, they become worshipers. And they do the tailgating thing.
Yep.
And they go and sit for 4 hours and watch guys throw around some ball, some pigskin, and shout when their favorite player makes a touchdown or when their team makes a touchdown. They shout and scream, and they get home and they can't even talk the next morning because they scream so loud.
Yep.
Doing my best. Then you got the radical worshipers. They're the ones they all of a sudden they're not morning people. Well, Pastor, I'm not a morning person. But all of a sudden it's football season, and they become morning people, and they get up at 7-8 o'clock, and they go out to the football field where it's snowing, and they're radical, and they take their shirt off, and paint a big P on their shirt. Panthers or whatever, whoever the team is here. And that their worship can be seen because you see the breath. No, you know I'm telling the truth. And then they vote for their taxes to be raised because their team needs a new house. Their team needs it. That's my team. They need the latest. They need the best. They need a new stadium. And they'll vote for the taxes to be raised so their team can have a new stadium. Then they celebrate because their favorite player, they keep their favorite player, and they sign him to some $125 million contract for 5, 6, 7 years. And they celebrate it, and they get on the phone, and they call their buddies, and they text about it, and they cheer. Hello?
Yeah, keep going.
That's our team. Yeah, we're going to keep him around. And they celebrate because their favorite player, their star quarterback, drives up in a brand new, $250,000 Ferrari or a $450,000 Rolls Royce Phantom. And they justified, oh, he deserves it. But yet, let the pastor drive up in a new car. It's a whole other story.
Yep.
I knew where my money's going. Hey, like I tell you, the pastor driving some, he's driving this in the car. No. Why? No, I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you celebrate a man
yeah.
more than the kingdom of God.
Right.
When you put more money into something that will do nothing for your life. Nothing for your life. You won't do anything for the kingdom of God. And that's how people in church are. And they get upset and they get mad because the pastor takes some time to share with the Lord, the Father from heaven, the Lord of the church, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives him something to share. Then they get mad. I tell you, it's all about the money. But it's okay to raise the taxes so they can buy some new football field and so their star player can buy some, $100,000-plus car or $200,000 car. Hello.
Amen.
For he deserves it. No, if anybody deserves it, it's the child of God. If anybody deserves it, it's the man who's dedicated his life and family to the servants of the King.
Yep. Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
See, things have to change. We've allowed the world to come in. We've allowed the world to come in and dictate to the church. We've allowed the spirit of religion to get in and dictate to the church, to keep the church to where she does nothing. Only thing that to keep the church, the only thing the church does is have some stupid potluck dinner on Sunday morning. And reduce the church to a car wash so they can fund the youth to go on some missions trip. I'm serious. And reduce the church to some bake sale or to some garage sale so we can raise money for the missionary. and that's from hell. And I'm telling you right now by the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, I'm just going to tell you right now. You wait. People in this town, you wait. They're going to start talking. They're going to start talking. But you know what? Let them talk. Let them talk. Hallelujah. Let them talk. Come on. Let them talk. Because I'm going to be jealous and they're going to say things, but let them talk. Let them talk. Because we listen, the only thing we're concerned about is what the Father wants. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the pastor, he said, yeah. But you know what the thing is so amazing? My wife and I were in Minnesota. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't in Minnesota. We was in Maine with the maniacs. And the pastor took,
I don't even like lobster.
I don't even like lobster. And so, but a pastor friend of ours came up and, you know, wanted to go to some lobster. So the pastor took me and my wife and this other pastor, some real nice lobster house in Maine. And, we just enjoying the seafood. And so come back and I actually mentioned it in church that night. And I had some preacher came to my wife and said, well, your husband shouldn't mention that in church because there's people in this service can't afford a meal there. So what are we supposed to do, come down to the river now?
Right.
But yet, you know the thing that was so hypocritical? Is he drove off in a brand new Cadillac. Mm-hmm. See, it's a mindset.
Yeah.
And that's why I said at the very beginning of this service, we're going to... an all-out war on the mindset that's got into people, that's bound people up. And come on, there's a mindset that has bound people up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that has to change. Come on, that has to change.
Yeah.
No, listen, that has to change.
Yeah.
Listen, if people in this area, you know, they want some nice little sweet little service where they're, you know, they can still live this lifestyle that they're living and not be convicted of their sin, there's plenty of churches in the area that will accommodate
that's right.
that, but yeah. not this one.
That's right.
Amen.
Because we know the thing we're after? We're after the Father. You know what we're after? We're after the Father. Come on. You know what we're after? We're after the Father. Come on. When you have the Father, guess what you have? You have holiness. When you have the Father, guess what you have? You have His glory.
Yeah.
You got His power. Come on.
Yeah.
And you know what reigns in the midst of us? His presence.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we got to listen. And you have to start with your kids and your grandkids. Train your children to be wealthy. Because the Bible tells us to do so. You know that?
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't. The Bible say train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible say that?
Yeah.
But guess what the very next verse says? Everybody can quote that verse, but they can't quote the next verse. You know what the very next verse says? The very next verse says the rich shall rule over the poor, and he who borrows is a servant to the lender. What's the Bible saying? You train your children to serve God all their days and train them to be wealthy. Train them to be rich. Because if they're poor, they'll be ruled over by the rich.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. And I trust what the Bible says
right.
over what some man says.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Christian.
Yeah.
Bunch of lying devils. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I tell you, if you could just get one glimpse of what God wants to do through you.
Yeah. Amen.
Just one glimpse.
Amen.
Just one glimpse. Just
Amen.
One glimpse.
Amen.
Just one glimpse of what the Father has for you. Just one glimpse. The Bible says your mind can't even understand. Your mind can't even comprehend the things that God
yes.
has for those that
yeah,
love Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that He's more than enough.
Yeah.
He's more than enough.
Yeah.
He's more than enough.
Yeah.
And if you live in the land of more than enough, it's gonna guess what? It's a choice.
Yeah.
But some people like just having it nice and easy and just living week to week. That's not what God's called you to do. God's called you to make a difference. God's called you to enforce the defeat and hell that Jesus wrought in His death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
Come on, amen. Yeah, people get all upset here not long ago, what, last year or year before, because, you know, some preacher, Creflo Dollar, was going to buy some $65 million airplane. People got all upset. You know what my response was? Why is he just want one?
Yeah.
They get all mad. No, they get all mad. But yet, how come they're not mad? Listen, how come they're not mad at the rock stars?
Right.
That fly in them. How come they're not mad at these wicked pedophile Hollywood people?
Right.
And that's what they are, pedophiles.
Yeah.
Wake up, church. How come it's okay for them to fly in them?
Yeah.
Doesn't belong to them. Read your Bible. It belongs to the children of God.
Yeah. That's good.
Amen.
That's right.
And you know what the sad, thing about it is that the church never bought it for him. Guess who bought it for him? Some Muslim prince bought it for him.
Yeah.
From Saudi Arabia. Because some Muslim prince found out about it. And you know what? He was so puzzled. This prince was so puzzled why people were mad that he wanted a plane. And he couldn't understand it. So you know what he did? He bought him one.
That's
amazing. It's a mindset. Come on, it's a mindset. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And yet, here's the thing. It hinders us. Because when the Spirit of God comes and you're not free in areas, you're not going to yield to him.
Right.
No, you're not going to yield to him.
That's right.
No, you're not going to yield to him. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here need a financial miracle? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Well, how do you think that's going to come? Because it'll come. But how do you think it's going to come? I mean, it's one reason why we're here every morning. And I didn't mention it tonight, but tomorrow morning, we'll be here at 9 o'clock. There was like 9 of us today. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, we'll pray from 9 to 10, from 10 to 11, 11 to 12.
Yeah.
Just praying in the Holy Ghost. You want to see some things move in your life? Come and pray.
Yeah.
And I got to work. Well, take guess what? You know what? Really, how hungry are you for it to change? And that's what everything really comes down to. It really comes down to how bad do you want it? No. It really comes down to how bad do you want it? And people think that they can come and do nothing and get, you know, understand something. God's not some lucky charm. God's not some rabbit's foot or some genie in a bottle that you can live any way you want to live. And when you need something, just rub the genie and poof, there you go. That's not how God is. You just can't live. Understand something. You can't live wrong and die right. I got something the other day from a powerful preacher. And here's what he said. Man, this so blessed me. He said this. He said, when a man is filled with the Spirit, he deals largely with the Word of God. Whereas the man who is filled with his own ideas refers rarely to the Word of God. D.L. Moody. Because a man that's filled with the Holy Spirit is spiritually minded.
Yes.
And everything's about the kingdom of God. But yet people don't understand. Well, you just make a little adjustment and stop being about your kingdom and let it start being about the kingdom of God. Get ready. Hold on. Oh, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Oh, Raman Shefre Bakata. Do you understand who backs us? Do you understand God himself? Do you understand what God wants to do? Do you understand what he wants to do? But he's limited by the way we think and by our actions. Do you understand? Think about God for a moment. The one who has no beginning. The one who has no end. Think about him. He's the very one that said, if you would just draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. The very one who created the worlds out of nothing. The Bible says with his breath, he created the stars. He created the galaxies with his breath. Not only did he create them, go outside and look at the stars on a clear night. You can't even count them. But the Bible says with his breath, he did it. Not only with his breath did he create every star, the Bible says that he's named each star.
Yeah.
Do you know how many quadrillion stars there are? God named each one. And with his breath he created them. Oh, and every 18 days it keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. Think about it. Something God did thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years ago, still to this day, keeps multiplying. Because we're talking about omnipotence. We're talking about El Shaddai. We're talking about God. We're talking about our Father. That's why the Bible says, I'm just going to tell you right now, and some of you wackos watching on Facebook, it's what they are. They come and click on Facebook and want to just type some stupid stuff. They some social media warrior. Give me a break. With fatigues and army boots on. Maybe you got to do that just because, you know, global warming. There is no such thing. You know, that's a slap in the face of God if you're a Christian you believe in. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of the planet. We should.
Right.
You should take care of the planet. But to say there's such thing as global warming means a slap in the face of God. Because let me tell you something. When God does something, there's no end to it. When God creates something, there's no lack in it. Do you know how many, I'm not going to say the number because I want to be exactly right, but do you know how many new species of fish they find every single month in the ocean?
Right.
The Bible says God created the ocean and He filled it. Everything, every creature He put in there. Why do they keep finding new fish? Because God, the one who has no beginning and has no end, created it. Therefore, nothing can die. Nothing can die. That's why it keeps multiplying. Why? Because God created it. There's more bananas that'll fall to the ground and rot than monkeys ever eat.
That's right.
Because God created it.
Yeah.
Because God created it. That's why there's no such thing as global warming. Because the Bible says God created the earth.
Yeah.
And God said as long as the earth remains, there'll be day, there'll be night, there'll be summer, there'll be winter, there'll be seed time, and there'll be harvest.
That's right.
Everything God created, there's no end to it. Understand, there's no end to it. There'll never be an end of oil. We'll never run out of oil.
Yeah.
God created it. Do you understand who He is?
Yeah.
Do you understand who El Shaddai is? He's the God that's more than enough. He's the God that comes when you've been given a death sentence and you have 52 tumors on your body. To where you're living in an impossible situation, but yet God comes and just one. And they go. El Shaddai. It's the very one that we've surrendered our life to. He's the very one that we've come and surrendered our life to. We pick up His cross. It's not about what we want. We've surrendered our life to Him. We've died. It's no longer I that lives, but a Christ that lives in me. And we are called for one purpose. That's to fulfill His purpose, which is to advance His kingdom and to seek first His kingdom. And if you're not seeking first His kingdom, then the only thing that means is that you're seeking your kingdom. If you're not 100% committed to His kingdom, then you're all about your kingdom.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. If you're not 100% in, if you're not 100% committed to His kingdom, then you're all about your kingdom.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's about His kingdom. Everything's about His kingdom. Everything we do is about His kingdom. That's why, I mean, here you got this outreach this week. Why are you doing this outreach? Because it's about His kingdom.
Yeah.
Because we are contending for the souls of mankind.
Yeah.
We're contending for souls.
Yeah.
We're contending for people. We have the answer, but yet right down the road, there's people right now with a gun to their head want to end their life because they don't see how anything's going to change. And yet we have the difference. We can make a difference in their life because we are the church.
Amen.
And we're not called to be some little club to where we sit in a church with four walls and it's all about us. That's not our purpose. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel and set every captive free.
Yeah.
Why? Because we've been equipped by God. We've been equipped with power that will destroy every power of the enemy. The withstand us. The kingdom of darkness cannot withstand us because we are the church and we're backed by God. We're backed by El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. We don't think impossibilities. Listen, the word impossible should never even come out of your mouth.
Right.
Amen. Should not even come out of your mouth. Because we're children of God. Understand what family you're of. Understand what family you're a part of. We're of the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is not in this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
And we got to become heavenly minded. I remember, I'll be overseas again in December. I've been overseas over 70 times. I've been over 50, my wife and I, we've been to 50 nations of the world over 70 times. And you know what? 62 of those times, every time I came back into America, I'd been down on the ground. As soon as I touched soil in the airport, I'd get on my knees and I'd thank you, God, for America.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, especially when our daughter traveled with us, she did until she was 18, she used to get embarrassed because she knew when we was getting off the plane, she'd walk like this. Even my wife would. Because they know I'm going to get on the ground and thank you for America. But you know what happened? You know why I don't do it anymore? Because the Lord spoke to me. You know what the Lord said? He said, what kingdom are you of? Here's what the Lord said to me. He said, where's your citizenship?
That's good.
I'm like, oh, my citizenship. See, I was becoming carnally minded.
Yeah.
My citizenship is not here. My citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah.
I haven't kissed the ground since because my citizenship isn't here. My citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah.
See, we got to become more and more and more and more and more and more and more heavenly minded.
Yeah.
We're not of this world. We're just in it. We're passing through.
Yeah.
And everything we do, we have to do by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Just like Elisha. But you know the difference between us and Elisha? Elisha didn't have the Holy Ghost in him. We do. That's a part of what it is finished means. Sunday morning we talked about when Jesus was hung on the cross and before he died, there's seven things that he said on the cross. For as he hung there as the Lord of glory, the Lamb of God hung on that cross for 6 hours. Seven things he said, the very last thing he said, it is finished. What's he talking about? Well, there's a number of things he's talking about. But one of the things he's talking about is that the old covenant, the covenant that Abraham had, the covenant that Elijah, that Elisha had, is over. We have a new covenant. We have a greater covenant. Jesus is the mediator. And the Holy Ghost no longer comes and just sets upon a few. But the Holy Spirit himself, God himself, has come and taken up residency on the inside of us. Glory to God. We have his life. We've got his nature. We've got his life and we've got his ability. We used to sing, I remember back in the 80s, we used to sing the song, I got the life of God in me. How many remember that song? I got the life of God in me. Remember that song? We got his life, his nature, and his ability. We got the life of God in me. How many remember that song? Oh, we don't even sing that song anymore. But oh, it's so powerful because it's nothing but word. Honestly, I'll be honest with you, some of the Christian songs that are out today just, there is no word base whatsoever. It's all based on emotion. It's all based on feel. And we don't do anything based on that. Amen? I got the life of God in me. I got the life of God in me. I got his life, his nature, and his ability. I got the life of God in me. Glory to God. See, the problem is you just don't know who you are. Oh, once you understand who you are, once you know the weapons you got, once you know what's at your disposal, nothing will stop you.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing will stop you. That's why I love seeing the kids in these meetings. I love seeing the kids in these meetings.
Yeah.
Ah, this is 100 times better than VeggieTales. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Got the life of God in me. That's why sickness and disease can't take me out. I got the life of God in me. Come on.
Yeah.
You got the life of God in you.
Amen.
Do you know you got the life of God in you?
Yes, I do.
And did you know you have the life of God in you? Hallelujah. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
You got the life of God in you.
Yes.
No, you got the life of God in you. You can. You know what? When you got the life of God in you, you can be like Paul. You go out camping, and all of a sudden a poisonous snake comes and attaches itself to you. And
yeah.
And fear nothing. Fear nothing. Fear nothing. Fear nothing. Because you know who you are. That's why I love Lester Sumrall. You know, Lester Sumrall was sleeping in a Tibet monastery back in, I forget what country he's in. And he spent the night there. And he wakes up in the middle of the night and his bed's levitating in midair. And he raises up and he wakes up and sets up in bed and his bed's levitating in midair. And you know what Lester Sumrall did? He said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here now." The bed drops and the door slams behind him. Lester Sumrall lays back down. He thinks for a few moments. He raises back up and he says, "Devil, you get back in here now." And the door opened up. You know what Lester Sumrall did? He said, "Now you put my bed back where you got it." Hello. That's a true story. That, you know why? Because he knew who he was. He knew who he was. No, I mean, why do you think Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth was sleeping one night, and he woke up. He's laying on his side. He woke up and felt an evil presence in his room. And he rolled over, and there's Lucifer. There's the devil himself at his bed. He rolls over and says, "Oh, it's just you. Get out of here." And rolls back over.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. "Oh, it's just you." You know what Christians today would do? "Ah, in the name of Jesus! In the name of Jesus! Call the pastor! 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 The devil's in my bed!" Well, you know, sister, you know, we was counseling last night. No, not that devil. Not that one. I mean, the devil. I'm not talking about my husband. I'm talking about the devil. Hallelujah. But you know why there was a similarity between Lester Sumrall and Smith Wigglesworth? Because Lester Sumrall was so hungry for God.
Yeah.
This is what hunger, this is what happens. Listen, when you find people that's literally shaken nations, nothing's coincidence.
That's right.
There's always a reason.
That's right.
Listen to me. There's always, 100% of the time, there's always a reason. There's always a reason why certain people are anointed with the way they're anointed. There's always a reason. Because God does not operate the way most Christians think he operates. Most Christians think God just picks and chooses. You know, he just leans over the banisters of heaven. "I think I'll heal that one, but not that one. I think I'll bless that one, but I'm just not going to bless this one because they just need to go through a little bit of thing. They just need to suffer a little bit." No, that's how most Christians think. But God said, "If you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you." God said, "If you seek me." That's why don't think for one moment you being here tonight goes unnoticed with God. But on the other hand, don't think for one moment those that should be here or not here goes unnoticed with God. Every individual, every man, every woman that has literally shaken nations, that's caused a great revival to come, that's caused another awakening to come in the land, every man, every woman that's literally changed the course of generations, there's a reason why.
Yes.
They just didn't go to bed and wake up the next morning anointed. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
And there's no, listen to me, there's no age restriction to it.
Amen.
It's whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. It's whosoever seeks him. Whoever seeks him, whoever draws nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to. There's no age restriction. There's no education restriction. It's called just call on me and I answer it. I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. And Lester Sumrall, when he was an 18-year-old boy, he had an invitation to go and to meet with Smith Wigglesworth. Do you know Smith Wigglesworth, who raised 26 people from the dead in 31 years? Mighty man of God. People still talk about him today.
That's right.
But the reality is, people that talk about him today, he wouldn't be welcome in their churches.
That's exactly right.
Because he was very radical. He didn't put up with nothing. He was very radical.
Yeah.
He punched people all the time.
Yeah.
No, he'd punch ladies with cancerous tumors and just punch them in the tumor.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I was in Scotland, and in the 93, I was in Scotland, and there was this elderly man, and the pastor said to me, that man used to be in Wigglesworth meetings when he was a boy. I got to meet with him. I sat and had some tea and some coffee, or not, little, whatever. They call them scones, yeah, whatever. You know, it's hard as a rock. And that's what it is. Maybe I didn't make it right. But I didn't make nothing. And, you know, I asked him, I said, when you was a boy, when Wigglesworth used to come to your church, yeah, all the time. I said, did you ever see him punch anybody? You know what he said to me? He said, every time he'd come to my church, he'd punch somebody. But you know what? They'd be healed.
That's right.
They'd be healed. No, they'd be healed. One time, the couple put a baby up on the platform for Wigglesworth to pray for it. And he kicked it off the platform. Baby goes flying, like a little month-old baby, goes flying through the air. But you know what? People got upset. They got mad. But guess what? The parents didn't, because the baby was instantly healed. The baby's going to die. But the baby's instantly healed by the power of God. See, that's called walking in a home. That's called walking in the realm of God. Now, guess what? You know what? Hey, listen. You know, hey, but you know what? If your baby was sick, and your baby only had a few weeks to live, and you know somebody had success, you said you'd go put him on your baby on the platform too and say, kick. Hello? No. Jesus spit in people's face. But they were healed. Let me tell you something. You're blind and you really want to see, and you're blind and you know that if somebody has a ministry of spitting and people get healed. Listen. You'd be the first one there. You'd be on the front row. Spit, brother, spit. No, you would be. If he runs out of spit, you'd loan him some of yours. Spit. No, I would. But on the other hand, once he spits, I better be seeing. I promise you that. Hello? And Lester Sommer had an opportunity. He had an opportunity to go to meet with Wigglesworth. You know what? Smith Wigglesworth, it's a proven fact. Smith Wigglesworth should go preach at these Bible schools, and he would invite Bible school students to come and hang out with him. Not one came.
Wow.
Not one came. I'm very good friends with Lester Sommer's son, eldest son, Frank. I've asked him all this stuff, because this is really true about your dad. I've asked him all this stuff. Think about it. Think about this man. Think about what some of these other students could have had.
Yeah.
Lester went.
And Lester was the only one that went.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was the only one that went. And the very first meeting that Lester had with Wigglesworth, Wigglesworth shouted at him, screamed at him.
Yeah.
Because Wigglesworth answered the door, and there's Lester Sommer, a little 18-year-old boy with a newspaper under his arm. And he didn't say, hey son, thank you for coming. How are you doing? He said, what's that underneath your arm? Startled Lester, and Lester, it's a newspaper. He said, throw it out now! Throw it out! I don't allow lies in my house.
Yeah.
That's right.
Think about this man's commitment. There's always a reason why certain people do what they do.
Yeah.
Carnal people says, oh, that's just stupid. Well, that's why you don't do nothing.
Right.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And he came and sat down. You know what the first meeting was? He came and sat down, and the Smith Wigglesworth said, have a seat, fellowship with me. And guess what Wigglesworth did? He opened up his Bible and read his Bible out loud for an hour. Then shut his Bible and prayed out loud for an hour. And then he looked at Lester Sommer and said, thank you for coming and fellowshiping with me today. Come back tomorrow. Lester said, I never had a hot meal at his house, because we'd go to sit down and eat, because his daughter lived with him. We'd go to sit down and eat. And she'd serve the meal or serve hot soup. And Wigglesworth, he'd go to pray, and he'd pray for a half hour in tongues.
Yeah.
Or he'd open up his Bible and read the book of Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians. There's always a reason. There's always a secret to individuals' power.
That's right.
And their intimacy with God. But guess what? When the war began, Lester Sumrall, the only Bible school student that would come to his house, came to tell Wigglesworth that the governor's making him leave because the war's begun or about ready to begin. You know what Wigglesworth did? Got up and laid hands on him and prophesied to him and told him about the coming revival and told him he'd see it. And he did able to see it because Pastor Rodney was at his church a few weeks before he died. And he cried, and Lester said, I felt the tears running down his cheeks onto my forehead. And Lester Sumrall said, Father, let the same spirit that's upon me come to this young man. And you know what Lester said? He said he walked out the door, never saw him again. He said he walked out the door, shut the door behind him, walked down the steps, walked down the sidewalk, opened the gate, stepped out, shut the gate behind him, turned, and began to walk down the sidewalk, and all of a sudden something came and hit him. And he said, it hit me so hard, I jumped in the air. He said, I know immediately what happened. That anointing was upon Wigglesworth came to me. Think about all the others that could have had something. But they were not hungry enough. See how important hungry is. I'll share one last thing, and I'm going to pray. I had the opportunity, my wife and I, a number of years ago, it's 1993, We were in a meeting, and myself and my pastor and his wife and Brother Oral Roberts and Brother Richard Roberts and his wife Lindsay. And we're sitting in this restaurant at this Horseshoe Table. I still remember the restaurant. It was called Old Grady's, right by Woodland Hills Mall in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're sitting back to the side of this restaurant, Horseshoe Table. And Wigglesworth began to talk about how God used to use him and about the miracles, and he began to talk about how his whole hands would burn like fire. And he said he'd lay his hands upon people, and he said, I'd feel the power of God going through my arm and out of my hands. The demon world just knew about Oral Roberts. I was just listening to a tape the other day by my mentor, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, said one time he went to go pray for this person full of the devil, and the devil spoke out, said, I hate Oral Roberts. Powerful man of God. And as he began to talk about it, he reaches over and he grabs my pastor's hand and he prays and said, Father, let it be so with this young man. And as soon as he did, I tell you, and that section, that whole table, just the presence of God came and was all like, oh, be very holy. And I remember thinking to myself, see, you only do this if you're hungry and desperate. I remember I opened my eyes and I stuck my hand out and I said, Brother Oral, and he's like this. He looks up and goes, yes, son. I said, put your hand in my hand. And he said these words. He said, I don't have anything left. Now, I could have put my hand and go, oh, okay. Sorry. But I thought, no. I kept my hand out. I said, Brother Oral. He raised up. He goes, yes. I said, get some more. Yeah. And he reaches over. He takes, whoo. And he reaches over and he puts his hand in my hand and he says these words, and Father, let it be so with this young man. And the moment he said that, Spirit of God came, my hand began to burn like fire because that anointing was released. And it comes down to how hungry are you?
That's right.
It really comes down to how hungry are you? Everybody that does something mighty for God, there's a reason. And you follow their life, and I'll tell you what the reason is, because you follow their life, and it all comes down to sometime, someplace in their life, they got so hungry for God that they begin to cry out to Him. They got so hungry for God, they begin to seek Him with all their heart. They got so hungry for God that they begin to draw nigh unto Him. And guess what happened? In the process of time of them seeking Him, and the process of time of them drawing nigh to Him, God came to Him. God came to them. God came, and they had an encounter with God. And I can name the people. I can name the ladies. Starting with Amy Simple McPherson. Starting with Maria Woodworth Eder. Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine Kuhlman, she got more people healed on accident than preachers today do on purpose. A mighty woman of God, but yet you listen to her and you listen to her, and yet she gives all the glory to God. She only thinks she taught the Holy Spirit, because she was very you know, theatrical. She was very, you know, extravagant. You know, people, I can tell you the time and the place. I've sat for hours and watched. And the Spirit of God. See, how many know that I told you every night would be totally different? How many know tonight is totally different than tonight? But tomorrow will be totally different. See, there's such a variety to God. We can't think that we know how it is and how it's. No, there's such a variety. And let me tell you something right now. There's so much more to God. There's so much more to God that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface.
Yeah.
We haven't even begun to scratch the surface. And I'm going to tell you something right now. And until you allow yourself to get filled with the Holy Ghost and you become 100% committed to the plan and purpose of God and then seeking His kingdom and advancing His kingdom, some of the things you won't accept. Because we're about ready, and it's already started. The church is about ready in these last days to step over into a realm to where there have been those that have temporarily stepped over in that realm. But I'm telling you, in the last days, there will be those that will step over into the realm of God and they'll live. I remember my mentor, Dr. Kenneth Yagan, telling multiple supernatural things. But one time, he began to tell a story as he was preaching, just like he's preaching now. And all of a sudden, the whole room just was like a flash lit up. You remember we used to have those cameras? You know, remember the old cameras? And you'd go and they'd take a picture, you know, go get a family picture made. And you get a flash and it's like you can't even see for an hour. How many remember? But the whole, it's like everything just lights up. And he said he was preaching this meeting one time, and he said this just all of a sudden in this service, there's a flash. I mean, just like a second, a flash. Nobody can see anything. But when the light dissipated, every sinner in the house was translated from the seat to the altar. And the Spirit of the Lord said to him, he said, get ready, because in the last days it'll be multiplied. How do you like to be preaching a service and the pastor just going along preaching a service and all of a sudden a big light, and then when the light goes away and you can see again, every sinner in the house that was in the service was translated from their seat to the altar. Hallelujah. Shondor, understand what our DNA is. We listen, God didn't create us. God didn't create us to attend church on Sunday morning. God did not create us. It's not God's purpose and God's plan for your life just to attend 1 hour service once a week and then live the way you want to live throughout the week. We have to be 100% totally committed, sold out to the plan and purpose of God in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's somewhere He's taking us. It's time to come up higher. It's time to come up higher. Boomerang. It's time to come up higher. It's time to come up higher. It's time. There's realms of God that are available. But it only comes to those that are hungry. Only comes to those that are desperate. Only comes to those that are 100% totally committed and sold out to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, they that know their God. It doesn't say those that know about Him will be strong and do exploits. That's not what the Bible says. It says those that know Him will be strong and do exploits. Those that know Him. That word know there is the same word used when Adam knew Eve. Those that know Him. That's why we've opened this up. And tomorrow morning, and as I close, we're going to begin to pray for some folks. But as we close, that's why tomorrow morning we'll be here 9 o'clock. From 9 to 10, from 10 to 11, from 11 to 12. Actually, to be honest with you, at 12 o'clock today, we actually could have went on. I mean, I'm leaving here in my car in the spirit of prayer still. I'm praying in one way in the car. I mean, people come. Listen, don't think for one moment you come in here and praying for 2 hours and then leaving to go to your meeting goes unnoticed with God, because it doesn't. God sees it. And there's rewards. There's rewards for seeking Him. There's rewards, because the Bible says those that diligently seek Him, He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. Amen? He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder without faith. Actually, the scripture reads, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Those that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Yeah. You are a diligent seeker. You are a diligent seeker. You are a diligent seeker, and the Lord rewards you. The Lord rewards. Oh, you ain't seen anything yet. The Lord rewards those who diligently seek Him. You are a diligent seeker, and the Lord rewards. He doesn't just reward with material things, although that's part of it, but He also rewards with His presence. He also rewards with His glory. He also rewards with His anointing. He also rewards with an increase in signs and wonders. He also rewards with an increase in the working of miracles. He also increases with the bronze. In the realm of the Spirit. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying tonight, He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. Hear the call of heaven tonight. Hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. He's a rewarder. El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God that is more than enough is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. And that's the word of the Lord tonight. But what you do with that word has everything to do with you. Has everything to do with me. We can either take heed, you know, that's why the Bible says, take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear. Take heed tonight. What are you going to do? What are we going to do with what the Holy Ghost just said? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We could sit in our seats and go amen, yet go on about our merry way and continue to do what we always do. Or we can change and begin with all of our heart to seek Him. To begin with all of our heart to cry out to Him. With all of our heart, begin to seek Him, because He's a rewarder. He's not a rewarder of those that call upon Him every once in a while. He's not a rewarder to those who seek Him on Sunday morning. He's a rewarder of those who diligently, that means it's consistent, that means it's all the time, seek Him. That means there's no stop to it. I mean, you seek Him in the morning when you wake up. I mean, the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning is the Father. The first thing you begin to do is when you wake up in the morning is, oh, I worship You. I mean, He's first thing when you wake up, it's the Father that's on your mind. Oh, my brother, as you're getting ready, He's on your mind. Oh, as you're taking a shower, He's on your mind. Oh, as you're leaving the house, He's on your mind. As you're on your way to work, He's on your mind. Oh, and you seek Him. He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. And there's a call going forth tonight by the Holy Ghost, and you have to make a decision tonight. What are you going to do? Are you going to diligently seek Him, or you're not? I made the decision. I'm going to diligently, with all of my heart, seek Him. It's not about my kingdom. It's really, really not. It's not about my kingdom. It's really, really, really not. It's not about my kingdom. It's about His kingdom. And one day, I'm going to stand before Him. And the only thing I desire to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. But I will say you one thing, that you'll find those that diligently seek Him, they're passionate about the lost. Because when you begin to diligently seek God, you begin to get in His presence, and you begin to get His heart. And when you get the heart of God, you will always have a heart for souls. Because guess what? Angels in heaven don't rejoice because you're here tonight. Angels in heaven don't rejoice because you get blessed. Angels in heaven don't rejoice because you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Angels in heaven don't rejoice because you get healed. But they do rejoice when somebody who don't know the Lord makes the Lord for the first time their Savior.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
So that should tell you what the kingdom of heaven's about. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. You've been blessed tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, we're not finished. I'm going to pray for some people. But before we do, we're going to give you an opportunity to sow a seed. The ushers have come. They've handed out envelopes. If you don't have an envelope, just raise your hand. The ushers will give you an envelope tonight. We'll just make, we'll fill out the envelope. Listen, on these, raise your hand. If you don't have an envelope, you need an envelope. Hallelujah. How many of you have been blessed? Raise your hand.
Yes.
Ushers, see all those hands? Get them an envelope quickly. What's that, buddy? Yeah, you can put the giving link up. If you want to make a check, just make a check out to VOR. It's the Voice of Revival Ministries. Put the link up. You can give also by the internet. You can give by this link and to go to the church, and the church will make sure it gets to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Also on the envelope there, you'll see there's an opportunity to, if you would like to be a partner with us. Hallelujah. And then be partners with us. And that means everything that happens and everything God does through us and is added to your account. Amen. Amen. People need to understand how important it is to partner with others that are doing things. You know, how many of you here there's a certain evangelist that's really blessed your life? Well, you know what? Then become partners of theirs and support that individual. Amen? That means everything that happens in their ministry is added to your account in heaven. Amen? You'll thank God in heaven that you did. Hallelujah. Amen? I remember my wife and I remember the Lord spoke to me one time in 1998. My pastor was going to New York. He rented Madison Square Garden. It cost $8 million. He rented Madison Square Garden. And the Lord, I'm sitting in the service, and the Lord spoke to him and said, give him $100,000. I'm like, huh. I actually thought God was speaking to the person behind me, and I just overheard it. I just wanted to turn around. Would you disobey him? But it was me he's speaking to. Long story short, we didn't have $100. You know what I did? I actually opened my checkbook. I said, Father, it's not in there. I don't even have $1,000. I don't even think I even had $100 to give him. And you want me to give $100,000? But you know what? I said, Father, I'll do it. And the moment I said I'll do it, you know what the Lord said to me? He said, I want to take you to another level. How many want to go to another level? But guess what? In order to go to another level, there's something required of you. Amen? Because it doesn't just happen because you want it. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I still see people writing. Thank you. Bless you, my brother. Hallelujah. See you tomorrow. Hallelujah. What's that humming? Is that me? Huh? Hear that humming, that drumming?
Yeah. Something outside.
Oh, is that outside?
It's people outside.
Huh?
It's people outside.
Sounds like a spaceship or something. Hallelujah. You ready to sow a seed tonight?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Do we have buckets? Let's just pass the buckets. Oh, I tell you what, just come. Bring your offering up to the front here. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says bring your offering to the Lord. So just come and worship the Lord with your offering. And then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shandrusta brapa and devreba sishta. Shandabraba kite brebrunzi devreba sishta. Bless you. Harabonjusta brebra kista. This sister right here, what's your name? Yes, you. No, you just turned around. You.
Jessica.
Come here, Jessica. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Ha ha. Shombro bashiste vre basi frebo kondai. And the vrebo shustobrapad. Hu shande vrabon shande le vrebakita. In the name of Jesus. In the name of, come here, Brother Chip. Come here. Hallelujah. 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 Shete vrebakiste vrebashiste. It is Chip, right?
Chad.
Oh, Chad. Oh, Chad. Chad. Okay. Well, you get a new name in these meetings. Jesus. Never the hanging Chad. Never the same. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Ooh, Rabakita. Never the same, Chad. Never the said. Said. Never the same, Chad. Never the same, Chad. Hallelujah. Ooh. This sister right here in the blue. What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa, lift your hands, Lisa. Lord, Jesus. Who? Never the same, Lisa. Never the same, Lisa. Hallelujah. Never the same. Never the sister in the white sweater. Come here, man. Yeah, you. Hallelujah. 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 Brunda Rista Ramondusta Bene. What's your name? Huh?
Barbara,
lift your hands, Barbara. Lord, I thank you. Whoosh, Jesus. Whoosh, yeah, that's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name, 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 in the Narusta. Sister Texan, come here. Sister, the towel lady, come here. Put your hands. Whoosh, Jesus. Oh, brafrapun, shisti vremafrapo supre. Ha ha ha. Ooh, my. I tell you, the Lord is good. Isn't the Lord good? As this brother right here, the usher. What's your name?
John.
John? Come here, John. Johnny. Ha ha. I know he's ushering, but that's okay. The Spirit of God. Oh, Rabba. Jesus. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Never the same, Johnny. Never the same, Johnny. Never the same, Johnny. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? This sister here, hero. Is that what it says on your shirt? No, I don't know what it says. I went to school in Kentucky. Lift your hands. What's your name again, hon?
Josephine.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bye-bye. Ma. This is where, it's the meetings like this where giftings is imparted. It's a meeting like this where the working of miracles is imparted. Because you know what? I believe with all of my heart, I believe in the name of you. You cannot be in a Holy Ghost church. You cannot be in a Holy Ghost church and not get something from heaven. I believe in the name of Jesus. You're going to touch your generation. You're going to shake your generation in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Every generation needs to be shaken.
Yeah.
Every generation needs to be shaken. Every generation needs to be shaken. Every generation needs to be shaken. And it can only be shaken by people that are filled with God. It can only be shaken by people that are baptized in the fire of God. Let me tell you something. People don't shake nations because they have knowledge. People don't shake nations because they have wisdom. People do not shake nations because they have natural ability. People shake nations because they're filled with God. They're filled with God. They have intimacy with the Father, and they are baptized in fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I tell you, you know what is so amazing? Not all, but many that God has used. See, you know Smith Wigglesworth? And the world would call him an ignorant fool.
Yeah.
because he couldn't even read. He only had a third grade education. But yet when he got baptized with the Holy Ghost, God gave him the ability to read the Bible. He couldn't read nothing else. He couldn't read a newspaper, nothing, but he could read the Bible. And yet people would call him, he's just an ignorant fool, worthless. But yet God used him to shake nations. Why? That just goes to show it's not about natural ability. It's not about natural knowledge. It's just about an individual totally yielding themselves on the altar of God, totally yielding themselves to the Father and allowing the Father come and have his way. Oh, because the Father comes and he releases. The Father comes and he imparts. The Father, jeez! Fire of the Holy Ghost! Yeah, you get ready. Man, you're gonna see an increase in the gifts of the Spirit in your life. You're gonna see an increase in the working of miracles. You're gonna see an increase in the word of knowledge. You're gonna begin to know things and see things before they even happen. Oh yeah, because you've been crying out for some things. Oh, and the Lord hears our cry. The Lord hears your cry. Oh, yeah, and even the job you're working is just temporary. It's just a seasonal thing. It's just seasonal. Hallelujah. Now, how that season is, only the Father knows, but it's just seasonal. It's just seasonal. It's just seasonal. It's just seasonal. It's just seasonal because the Lord has called your husband not just to pastor this church, but he's called the two of you to take the fire to the nations. Ha 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 ha. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh Rabbah. That's why this church needs to rejoice and understand that the man that's in your midst is he's just not somebody that's God's called to give you some nice little message. God's placed his hand upon him to shake nations, and nations you shall shake. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, you got in your midst a nation shaker. Hallelujah. You got in your midst a nation shaker. Hallelujah. You got in your midst a nation shaker. Oh, shambraba. Who is the fire of God? Who, my. Who, shambra. Ho, fa, flata, fasta, tada, bon, sata. Who, sapati, defini, butu, papati, dedi. Oh, my shit, to the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the name. Hallelujah. You know, the only thing about having a screen up there, I can see a little spot on my head. My wife got me some spray to spray on it, but I'm not going to use it. Hallelujah, because stuff just run all over my neck. I haven't used it yet, but I don't care about that. Actually, I do care about it, but I don't care. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, let me get back in the Holy Ghost now. I saw myself on the screen. I'll tell you the power of my. See, you know what? Do you know the Spirit of God's just as strong tonight as it was last night?
Yeah.
But there's different.
That's right.
There's different. Understand the ways of the Spirit. Listen. That's why you take note. Listen. You're learning the ways of the Spirit. The ways of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Actually, there's a very deep work happening in people tonight.
Yeah.
Tell you, the Lord is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, let the fire of heaven fall upon each one that's here. Lord, have your way upon each one, Father, each one. Brahma, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost, fall in this house. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost fall in this house. Let the fire, now in the name of Jesus. 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 Shondra ba frepa susto kota brafa njista. Morra ba si freba kinjo vrupa supre ba kita. Oh, rabanjiste brebo kota brapo supre ba kita. Mandi vrebo supre bo koto roba si freba kite vrebo susta. Shondra ba si frehanzo fraka supa detai. Yeah, in the name of the name, in the name of the name, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stay in His presence tonight. Service is not over. This is how we'll end tonight. Stay in His presence. Something very holy happening here tonight. Let's have His way. Whenever you decide to leave, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow, 6:30. Stay in His presence.